become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Gee, I think all I got is acetylsalicylic acid generic. See, I can get 600 tablets of that for the same price as 300 of a name brand. That makes good financial sense. Good advice. Hey, this is real smoked salmon from Nova Scotia, Canada. $24.95 a pound. It only cost me $14.12 after tax, though. I'm giving this whole thing as a promotional expense. That's why I invited clients instead of friends. You having a good time, Mark? Oh, don't move. I just got to get the door. Ted and Annette! Hey, glad you could come. How you doing? Give me your coats. Everybody, this is Ted and Annette Fleming.
Hi, how are you?
Ted has a small carpet cleaning business in receivership. Annette's drawing a salary from a deferred bonus from 2 years ago. They got $15,000 left on the house at 8%. So they're okay. So, does anybody want to play Parcheesi? Okay, who brought the dog?
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Who's next? Huh? How about it? Who wants some? Huh? Who wants to have a little? You. You want some more? Huh? You want a little? Do you? You want some more? Huh? Huh?
Well, Levi, man, just won $10 on this scratch off, homie.
Man, quit pulling my dick.
What? Come up in here lying to me?
I ain't buying it. You pulling my dick.
First of all, I ain't lying to you. And second of all, that's not the phrase.
Come up in here, piss on my dick, tell me it's raining.
Piss on my leg and tell me it's raining.
All right, see, now you gonna piss and pull on my dick? Come on.
Do you understand that you got all your wrong?
No, actually, you got it wrong. Yeah. See? You ain't even got a dick to stand on.
Okay. Okay, let me ask you a question. What do you call those old plastic building blocks?
What you mean, dickos?
Name a famous comic strip detective.
Leg Tracy. What's with the questions, man?
Do you know the name of a giant cartoon rooster?
Foghorn Dickhorn.
Okay, you done. You done. Give me that.
All right. Yo, you gotta leave now, huh? Just because I got a dick up on you?
I'm allergic to marijuana.
We'll be right back. maybe, just maybe, my boys can stop him from getting the book. Yeah, maybe I'm a Chinese jet pilot.
It's Friday! Boom goes the dynamite! Hey everyone, I am the Jay Strom. Welcome to the show. It's Friday, and that means it's time for Entertainment Landfill. Welcome to the show where we talk film, television, and pop culture, video games, and other things. Home improvement, DIY, and things like that. And we talk a lot about dogs. But I don't do it alone. I also do it with Steven the Pop Culture Zealot.
Hey, what's happening?
Hello, Steven. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. It's been a long time.
Yes, it has. It has been a long time. You weren't on the show last week. We missed you dearly. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Hey!
Hello. Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill, look at Steven. Hey. You know, I was thinking that the new era of the show, we mention our dogs like every episode, and you hear our dogs on every episode.
Yeah. While the intro was playing, I had to make sure to take his collar off.
That's what I forgot to, and Steven removed it like immediately when he got here. And it's like baby barks or howls outside, or you hear Webster barking. It's kind of funny. They're characters on the show, essentially. Yeah.
Webster's a big fan of the news.
Yeah, he is. It's usually around the news or DVDs, isn't it?
Yep, that's when he starts getting annoyed.
He's like, how long is this show, dude? He's like,
the longest podcast ever, man.
He's like, I've seen a lot of podcasts on iTunes. They're like 30 minutes to an hour. What is this show? But,
I need a walk.
You know, the where you live essentially is, there's no way you could just open the door and go outside, is there?
Because
Do you worry if I leave the door ajar,
he'll just push it open and come back in.
But do you worry about him like running away?
No, I got a microchip in him and
he's been trained
He's very good. Yeah, he's been trained to come whenever I say, you know.
Yeah, like when you first got him, there's no way you would have done that, but now.
Oh, hell no.
Right? It's not like a beagle, because they always say a beagle needs a fence because they will just smell something and follow it until, and then they look up and they're like, where the hell am I?
Yeah. Beagles are different.
I'm in Kansas
entirely.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
What the green?
But you know what? He is part dachshund, so when I'm outside doing something, he'll get on the scent of like a mole and dig out the side of a hill. And see is his butt wiggling out of this mound of dirt.
It's so funny. Sometimes, like the other day, baby comes in, and I look at her face. I'm like, something's weird. What? And I get up close, and there's dirt all over her snout.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, dude, come on.
Something smelled good.
Got it.
One of these days, she's going to bring in like a dead armadillo, isn't she? Something like that.
Oh,
she'll bring that's, dead mouse.
Armadillos are good eating.
Dead possum. Yeah, something
a
like
possum.
That. Well, guys, thank you so much for being on the show this week. It's we're here to talk about our favorite subjects. And, Bill, it's been a special kind of torture this week, hasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Because
I still can't believe you made me watch that.
Oh, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that Destiny came out. And neither one of us have been able to play it.
Yeah, I started it tonight, and I was having problems installing it, so I kind of got frustrated and just did a full factory reset on my Xbox One. And I can always just re-download everything on there, and everything that's I beat what I want. You know, and most of that stuff is saved to the cloud, like
right.
The save games and stuff now. So, yeah, I just got it started, and I went through the cutscenes, and then it's that opening where it's like, you can't stay out here long.
You can just do create your character, you can get to the tower and then like quit for the, you know, just until later.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I'll go back to it.
You
but I haven't,
that,
you know, it, you've been busy, and I'm in school again now, so I have very, I don't have a whole lot of free time.
Yeah, not a lot of free time. And you know what? One thing is I will read certain things about the game. One thing I think it's silly, a game like Destiny, which takes a long time to play, it's essentially an MMO on a console.
Yeah.
But to see people coming out with reviews for it very quickly, or day one of Destiny.
Or you see the blog posts like somebody's already reached max level.
Yeah.
Jason, you seem to have a lot of free time.
Yeah, well, it's like, that's no fun. You know, remember that documentary? What was it called? Like, where the guys were like, when a new World of Warcraft expansion would come out?
Oh, what the hell was that called? That was so strange.
They would like load up and all their carbonated, you know, caffeinated drinks, and they'd be like, we're going to get to 60 before anybody. Come on, you guys ready? And they would be like on a landline in his living room.
Yeah.
His wife would be like, oh my God, I hate when they do this. New game comes out. I can't even talk to him, basically.
Oof.
He's basically not part of my life right now.
This and guy's an asshole.
And there, and he's like, dude, just broke level 50, man. 10 more to go. We'll be the first to do it.
Pass me another do, man. I need to feel extreme.
Pass me another bottle of balls.
I'm not going to...
Balls! Oh, my God! Balls!
But it's some people, they're in a race for it.
Yeah, they don't take time to enjoy what they're playing. They just want to be...
Like, they just want the prestige.
I'm definitely a casual gamer. Like, yeah, man, I'll play. I mean, yes, I would love to sit down and play it all day. But, I mean... I don't know what it is now, but dude, after an hour, my head hurts like so bad.
Yeah, we're getting old.
Yeah, just like, oh, my head hurts. My day, we played games. They didn't give us headaches. What is
just
this?
Just wait until I get my Oculus Rift and bring that down there.
Dude,
then your
I'm
head will start pounding.
I'm starting to wonder, like, if I had an Oculus Rift, I'd be like, Jason, where are you going? What? Hold up. And I go outside and I'm like, just throw up all over the ground. Oh my God. It's like, dude, it's really realistic, but I don't think I can handle it.
I'm visiting the Oasis, man.
Yeah. It's like, it's luckily the vomit doesn't show up in the virtual world.
Nah. It shows up as a hand.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. I don't know why I went there, honestly. But, yeah, I'm excited. It came yesterday. Bill, I want to thank you also.
No problem.
We're partners in gaming, aren't we? We just need to find the time to play it at the same time.
Yeah, we really do.
It's, you know, working on the show today, I kept looking over and it's like sitting there.
It's taunting you.
It's like in Jumanji, the game goes, or that, you know, it does that little, like,
you heard Crispin Glover all day.
What is it, like jungle drums or something?
Yeah.
So I look over at Destiny and I hear that. I'm like, I gotta play it, man. No. And I'm serious. Like this morning when I'm going to make clips, I'm like, I could just play an hour, 2 hours of Destiny. But I would totally screw myself if I did that, you know?
Yeah. And next week's going to be tough for me too, because it's like Tuesday morning. I'll be able to play it Tuesday afternoon. But then I won't be able to play it Wednesday afternoon. So,
and it'll be crazy because I'll be like, Bill, do you think you can play today? And you're like, I don't know. Well, I'll get on maybe. And then if you don't get on, like, I'm just like, where the hell was he? And then I'm not sure if I should play or not. Like, we need to get synced up.
Yeah, we do that catch up where,
where we just meet at level 5 or something.
Yeah.
No, you know what we should honestly do, is just play it whenever we can, and then when we're ready to play, we create new characters and start
that's a good idea.
Over.
Because then
like
we can try all the different things, because I went Titan again. I just really enjoyed the hell out of the Titan Striker.
I went Warlock.
Oh.
Yeah, I went Warlock again. I created my character yesterday. I couldn't not do it. Once, you know, you stick in the game and it loads, and I'm like, maybe I'll just create my character real quick, you know. And it's like closing in on 7, and I'm like, no, the wife's going to be home any moment. I better turn the shit off.
Yeah, I went to the midnight launch of it only because, one, I was up studying, and two, I didn't want to miss out on the cool swag.
Yeah,
so,
I saw that. What'd you get besides a poster? What was that?
I got a poster. I got a t-shirt. I got a Destiny bracelet, like one of those gummy band bracelet kind of things that has the...
Seize to your destiny.
Yes, the logo, and it says Destiny, and it says Become Legend.
Did you hear this drop, Bill?
Seize to your destiny.
You can yes. tell that's Terrence Stamp, right?
Oh, that's Zod. That's not Terrence Stamp.
That is Jor-El from Smallville telling Clark to seize his destiny.
God, I forgot all about that. What, he did a voice in Halo, too.
He's a good voice, dude. Definitely.
Yeah, he was one of the I don't know what the hell they were called. The like, the priests that were the aliens
dudes. The Bizrothi or something.
Yeah,
totally
something like
that.
Bismarcky.
Yeah, they were the Bismarcky.
Oh, baby, you got what I need.
I was wondering how far you were going to go. Like, is he going to stop or is he going to keep going?
But you say he's just a prick.
How did that guy have a career? Is it just because he was so bad it was funny?
He was so amazing.
That's what it was. He was a songwriter, right?
People were just like, holy shit, that guy, wow,
you
okay.
You feel it.
You got to respect that.
He's like that that one hung guy from American Idol. No,
I wouldn't go that far.
I almost said Sammo Hung, but that's
Sammo.
Wrong. Do you guys remember that guy?
Poor Sammo.
He was that big old like karate dude, but he was very husky. Sammo Hung.
He was one of the guys that was in the old Jackie Chan movies.
Yeah. But he could, like, do stunts and shit, but he was, like, a big dude, you know?
Yeah, wasn't he in a TV show for a while? Was he in Nash Bridges? Or...
Oh, no. Oh, wow. I just remembered that when you said that. He was in a show with Arsenio Hall.
Holy shit.
And it came on CBS right after the Chuck Norris show.
Walker, Texas Ranger. Walker,
why did I blink on that?
Wow.
Walker, Texas Ranger. Ooh. Right up to that was Sammo Hung and Arsenio Hall.
It's like Jake and the Fat Man.
Yeah, what was that show called? But instead it was Sammo and the Black Man.
Sammo.
What? What? Stephen will be looking that up for us.
Really? Sammo Hung Kung Bo.
Wow. How did that show get made?
Martial law.
Sammo Hung and Arsenio Hall. Was it one season? I swear I remember it like.
Yeah, it was. No, it was two seasons.
Two seasons of Martial Law. Can you believe that? A time when CBS just had Walker, Texas Ranger, which sucked.
You know
immensely.
Who created the show?
Was it Chuck Norris?
It was Carlton Cuse.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow, he's come a long way, hasn't he?
a kick in the pants television.
You got to start somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, you do.
Now, hey, we actually have a special guest tonight, and we're during, you know, basically when we usually do entertainment and talk about movies and stuff, there are no movies to talk about. There's nothing coming out right now, Bill, is there?
No, but I think the big thing is the Toronto International Film Festival right now. That's where most of the critics are.
Excellent.
So they're getting peeks at stuff that we'll probably see shortly.
Well, during the entertainment segment, we're going to call Adam Sexton and have him on the show. He's one of our patrons, and one of his rewards is for us to call him on the show, and we can talk to him about his podcast and stuff. But before that, let's play a couple of voicemails. Our first voicemail is from Rob Bickmore, also a patron. Oh, and before I even get into that, I wanted to announce we have a new patron, Jennifer Morris, the
awesome.
Very rare female patron.
she's a longtime fan also.
Yes, she is. She is a longtime listener. And thank you so much, Jennifer. If anybody else would like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/landfill. Now let's check out Rob Bickmore's voicemail.
Hi, guys. This is Rob Bickmore. I just want to say how much I'm enjoying the shows. Episode 302 was excellent, as always, although I do think it should have been called Lucio Ball rather than Star Trek. Sorry, Jason, that did make me laugh. But I can see-
oh, my God. Oh, wait. Let me interrupt him right there.
Wait, I thought you were going to name it Lucio Ball.
I was. This is what's so funny. This is why I should take notes, Bill, because the night of the show, I said, I need to call the show Lucio Ball.
Yeah. But
then that was like a Friday. By Monday, completely not even thinking that anymore. I'm just working on the show. I'm like, what's a good name for the show to be? And the dude, what is his name? Rick from Pawn Stars says Star Trek. And I'm like, oh, Star Trek, that would be funny. And I write that down. And I just kind of like, you got to write down your ideas, guys.
Yep, Rick Harrison living in your brain.
At least I need to write down
you
my
hear
ideas.
That emphysema laugh at all times.
Yeah, I think that it's like I had it in my mind, but somehow it left. Okay, back to Rob Bigmore's voicemail. Yeah, that wasn't very funny. Okay, let's check this out.
Hi, guys. This is Rob Bigmore. I just want to say how much I'm enjoying the shows. Episode 302 was excellent, as always. Although I do think it should have been called Lucio Ball rather than Star Trek.
I agree.
Sorry, Jason, that did make me laugh. But I can see the logic in why you heard that as a kid. I'm so pleased that you're loving the strain. It starts in the UK next Wednesday, so I can finally see it for myself. I guess I should have thought about that when I picked it for a show to review, but there we are. From what I can remember, you've not talked about anything that wasn't in the first book, so at least there haven't been any spoilers mentioned so far. Okay, I've got a question. You revealed recently that the origin of the Gonna Have Me Some Fun music after the break. But where did the music for the DVD song come from? Now, I've not listened to all of your early episodes. Sorry, I just didn't have that much spare time on my hands. So maybe I missed its origin back then. Hopefully Stephen is back tonight to perform the song in its full glory. Although I do think Gareth 80 did a fantastic job
of it. He's in our presence.
On an equally random note, you mentioned Bill Bixby in the DVD section last week. I got a flashback of the 70s TV series The Magician. I really loved that show when I was a kid, but I've completely forgotten about it until now. I wonder how it would hold up today. Anyway, have a great show tonight, and thanks for keeping them coming. Cheers. Bye.
Thank you so much, Rob. You know what's funny is there is some mystery around the DVD song, isn't there? Where did it come from, et cetera?
I thought it was the Degrassi High thing.
Well, Bill, I was getting to that. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Can I lead up to it?
I was talking to a friend about that just this week because we were talking about Degrassi.
Well, what's so funny, in the show Degrassi High or Junior High, Degrassi Junior High onto Degrassi High, there was three characters had a band called The Zit Remedy. And they had this one song called Zit Remedy. And they would sing The Zit Remedy Is Here or whatever. And it was funny. I mean, way back in the early days of the show, probably, what was it, like 2005 or 6 or something, I found a cover of that song, like some band. They're probably Toronto natives. Come on, they've got it. They covered the Zit Remedy song, so I listened to it. And it was like a free download on their site. It was like, man, what the hell? Download it. And then one day during the show, we just like, we need a DVD song. So I click play on the Zit Remedy song. And
I improvise some lyrics.
I know everyone, people have listened to the show for years. Yeah, Steven, you improvise lyrics. People who've listened to the show for years, this will blow you away. You're actually going to, I'm going to play you the Zit Remedy song. This is our DVD song. But all of a sudden, it has lyrics. This is going to blow people's minds. Let's check it out. Ow!
I feel empty.
Hey, we waited until after 300 episodes to reveal this, right? Yes. They're definitely from Toronto.
Everybody pays up to the fact as they are. Dedication is hard, but you'll be surviving, and you will go far. Everybody wants something, they'll never give up.
Oh, yeah! Woo-wee!
You know what's funny is that sounds so much like the late 80s to 90s pop punk, like Blink-182, Newfound Glory,
yeah,
Simple Plan, stuff like that. So like you can see where that was influenced.
I like when bands do that. They take some, like, barely existing song in a TV show, and then you just like, we're going to make it real or something like that. You know, because in the show, of course, they were supposed to sound horrible because they're just
Casio keyboard.
Yeah, they weren't really much of musicians, but they had that amp. One song that they played over and over again. And wasn't even in a school dance they played.
Yeah.
And then they're like, wow. Hey, everybody, let's get ready. And they start playing that one song. And then when it's over, it's like, we don't know any other songs.
We didn't think about that when we auditioned.
Yeah, it's like, play something else. Let's start it over. So anyway, that became the DVD song somehow. The best thing about it is that it has a long intro before lyrics start. And so all of a sudden, Steven just said, let's do the DVDs. And
I didn't know you. Honestly, when I first did that, you were editing the show a bit, and I figured you'd just edit out the singing and replace it with just the tune. That's honestly what I thought it was. I was
a star was born that night.
The star went supernova.
I have no idea when the first episode it was that you actually started singing that. I'd have to go back and listen, but that's interesting trivia if anyone wants to figure that out, because I really don't want to go back.
No.
But, Rob, there's your answer. I like to keep things mysterious on the show a lot of times, but come on, episode 303, let's just tell people, what's the big deal? But I do usually like to keep, it's like theatrical. You don't reveal your secrets, but...
An air biscuit of mystery.
Yes.
I didn't listen back to the shows. You know, I've listened to a few here and there.
Because you're a terrible fan.
I'm a terrible fan.
All right.
No, I just don't like listening to myself. I have a problem with it.
Oh, okay.
It's got nothing to do with anything
other. But you've got such dulcet tones.
Dude, so, I still can't believe what my voice sounds like. I can't even place
I hate my voice.
I mean, it just sounds, voice sounds weird to me.
Right. And it sounds weird to me. My voice sounds weird to me. And so, I find it hard to listen to.
Well, you and Bill sound normal to me, so.
Well, wow.
I think we all have problems with ourselves.
I always think I sound like Mushmouth.
Definitely
I actually wear a knit cap over my eyes when I do the show.
Yeah, I just thought that, you know, we were goofing around, and I just started doing the DVD lyric there, and mm-hmm. I figured, okay,
because you're a goddamn creative, Steven.
He thought it was
hell yeah,
embrace it, brother.
Just
start writing some
out.
Tunes.
It was awesome. No, it's become a
and
part
it
of the
stuck.
Show. Now, guys, we have another voicemail. This is from Ken. Hey, Ken, another patron. Let's check it out.
Is it Proventurous?
Yes, it is. It sure is, Bill. What? Okay, here we go.
Hey, guys, this is Ken calling from Los Angeles. Just calling to test out this new way of sending voicemail. Last week, I used my phone to send a voicemail in, and my phone is really a piece of junk. So I'm not surprised when I heard that the voice was a little muffled. I don't think I came through too well because I have a flip phone. That's $30 a month, and it's a piece of junk. So I'm using my handheld recording device and sending you an MP3 at the Gmail address. So hopefully this will be a better quality. Anyway, other than that, I don't have much to say. It was a great show last week. I got a chance to listen to it live, which is rare. And I cracked up a lot at Jason's misapprehension of Lucy O'Ball's name or mispronunciation of Lucy O'Ball's name. That was pretty funny, but I wouldn't feel too bad about that. I think that's a human error, not a character deficiency. And we all do this. I remember when I first heard someone refer to the show Sex in the City. Well, that's what I heard. I heard Sex in the City, and I thought it was called Sex in the City.
Oh, absolutely.
And years go by, and then I discovered it's actually, the show is actually called Sex and the City, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know what that really, I think Sex in the City makes more sense as a title, but whatever. I was wrong. I don't think it's something to be ashamed of because, you know, that's what it sounds like. Sex in the City. It sounds like Sex in the City. Anyway, I wish I could say more. I wish I could say I've been out to see something new in the movie theaters, but there really doesn't seem to be anything out there. This is kind of the crap period or crap cycle. There are two crap cycles, I think, in movies. There's this one from, you know, the end of August till, say, the end of September. And then there's February, late January into February. So this is normally a crap period, but man, there just seems like nothing out there worth spending the time and money to look at. But if you guys have something to recommend, I will go out and check it out. Okay. So I'm looking forward to hearing the show. And hope you guys are doing great, and I'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye.
Thank you very much, Ken. I think a lot of that has to do with when you're a kid, or even like later on, you know, Sex and the City, you hear people mention it, but you're not reading about it. You don't actually see the name on a screen or anything. Yeah. You just hear people talking about it. So you're like, Sex and the City. You know, it's the same thing like Lucille Ball. You just hear people saying it in the background. I don't see her name written out or whatever, or maybe on the show. I was a kid. I wasn't paying attention. So anyway,
I think
I'm
just
positive.
Learned,
I'm sorry, Steven. So
I think I just learned that it was Sex and the City, not in the city.
I'm positive I had a couple of those as a kid. It's just I blocked all my childhood memories out because they were awful.
Yeah, I know I have more. I just can't remember them. I swear, like, I thought I made up the name Johnny Carson when I was a kid. Like, hey, I'll be your host, Johnny Carson. And then one day, the Tonight Show's on, you're like, oh, wait, I didn't make that up. That's like,
my name's Rupert Pupkin.
That's some shit I heard in the background, you know, in our house.
Hi-yo!
You know, because a certain age, you're less aware, and then you're more aware of your environment.
All of a sudden, you're the most original person in the world, except you're not.
Yeah, I would almost think that I didn't become self-aware of the world until I was maybe in my 20s or something. Very, like, self-involved. Just like
on
living
the blinders
a, maybe
that you only saw.
Probably autistic, and I didn't know it. In fact, I don't even know if this is real right now.
You only ate at Asperger's.
This might, we might be in a snow globe. I don't know. What's going
on. Oh, I knew it. Do you ever pretend that there's a hospital in your snow globe?
I do.
Oh.
There's a whole town. It's Mulberry in my head.
Oh, is Howie Mandel there?
Yeah, and he's always putting that glove on his head.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Or he's got the handbag. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he's doing the... Oh,
that's not Bobby.
And he's doing the Bobby voice.
Yeah, oh, that's better. Well, guys, let's do entertainment. And this segment of entertainment is brought to you by Adam Sexton, host of Past and the Pending. So let's check it out. All right, Adam, I'm calling you now. Let's see if he's there. I didn't give him any warning that I was calling now.
Pause your radio. Pause it.
Yeah, please turn it on your radio at home, sir.
Billings? Hello, hello.
Adam!
Yeah, I'm here. Don't worry about me.
Okay, just checking.
Don't worry about me. I'm good.
Is this Adam Sexton, host of the Past and the Pending podcast?
This is he.
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
Doing fine, sir. How about yourselves?
Great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I got to say, your little avatar thing on Skype is frightening. It's Large Marge from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
But Large Marge.
Large Marge sent ya.
Yeah.
Tell him Large Marge sent ya. Well, Adam, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing very well. It's been a busy week, just like for everyone. Of course, it's kept me from playing Destiny, just like everyone else. But
oh, did you pick it up?
I picked it up yesterday for the PS4.
Nice. So you're just staring at the box?
Yeah, just regular. I didn't pre-order any. I didn't pick up the limited edition. I just wanted the basic game. But I installed it, and then obviously had no time to play it until earlier today because I was just swamped with work.
Yeah, so, I think that's everybody. You know, it's funny that basically this is the kind of game that you could take years to play it if you want. It's ongoing. There really is no rush. It's just, you know, we want to play, but it can wait.
Why does it come out in the middle of a work week?
You know, one thing I also didn't realize till I read a review of it, Adam, there's no pause in the game. You can't pause it.
No. You can go to your menu and switch out items in your inventory or whatever, but it does not stop the events. You can and will get attacked if you go to your menu.
So if something happens or somebody's at the door or something, you're like, you know what, I'm just going to have to die a few times and just
pretty much
up.
I have to ignore people at the door.
Yeah, what do you guys think about that? A game you can't pause.
Well, you can't pause any MMOs.
Right, that's true.
You just got to find a safe spot and sit down somewhere. You got to find the cantina.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it's different like in a game like Destiny because it's on a console. It's kind of weird.
Well, I think Bungie designed this game. It's not going to be like Diablo 3, which comes to mind because I've been playing it recently. It's not a game that you can play in short burst or whatever. I feel like a game like this has to be played for like several hours. Like,
oh, yeah, definitely.
You could waste an afternoon in it. That's part of the reason I think no one has time for it. You just basically want to lose yourself in it for a few hours at a time, and that's impossible during the work week.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to have to do is play a mission and then go back to the tower. That's where the Guardians live, and then log out. And then the next day, log in, play a mission, then log out again. Do something like that, you know.
Yeah, and the only thing that if I have a complaint about the game so far, and maybe this is just limitations of the tech, the loading times between going into orbit and landing somewhere are just a little ridiculous.
That is funny because in beta, I didn't mind that because the graphics are so beautiful of the ship in space and stuff, but I could see how like, okay, I'm over
this
the way
the
graphics
cool
look. Let's hurry this up. Yeah, there is a long load time there, but maybe that's what you got to do with an MMO. And it says on the box requires internet. But is that the new thing, like Titanfall and now this, where if you don't have internet, you're out of luck with these new consoles?
Yeah, they're
games.
The always on games, and it's kind of crazy because there's still a lot of places where broadband doesn't exist. I know friends that are maybe 30 miles south of me, not even 30 miles, 15 miles south of me, and they're just far enough from the phone center so that they can't have DSL, and they're just far enough out of the coverage area of cable so they can't have, you know, cable internet or broadband, and they have to have the satellite, the HughesNet, and that's all metered. And the quickest I think it is maybe like 500 kilobytes per second.
And it's ungodly expensive, too.
So you just, it's ridiculously expensive.
So basically you just can't play it then.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Wow.
Yep.
That kind of stinks. I guess you could play Nintendo or something.
Well, and it has everything even the Wii U now, a lot of that stuff is online.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you got to think about how these games are released before they're, you know, finished, and they throw out all these updates and DLC and everything, so you're just kind of shit out of luck.
I read that a lot of the reason for this is DRM. Like, you couldn't possibly play a pirated game now because of the way you have to connect it online and all that stuff.
On the original Xbox, you could actually install a mod chip and then put a big-ass hard drive in it, and then I would rent the games from like Gamefly or somewhere local, and then you could load up a program using the mod chip and then rip the game to the hard drive. So my original Xbox had almost every game that was ever released for it. And, you know, you could never do that now.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I think the last system you could actually do that for was the original Wii. Cause I bought, it's like a mod that the game system sits on top of, and you have to crack open the Wii and install a chip that bypasses the protection on the CD drive. And you could put the game in, load up the little mod box below it, and then rip the game to a SD card, or download the game, put it on an SD card, and play it off the SD card.
When you have the option to play a lot of games, are you like me where it's like, lost interest? It's like, there's too many, and I just don't feel like it anymore. It's kind of like those, those anthologies of, like, say, Sega, where you have all those games on one disc, and you're like, cool, and you play it once, you're like, lost interest. You know what I mean?
The last game I played all the way through was the Wolfenstein The New Order. That was a while back, and that I think I started playing that instead of Titanfall.
Now, Adam, when you just got a PS4, you've been just playing Diablo, right, on it so far?
What I've done ever since the system was released and they started making PSN titles, especially the stuff they made available through the PS Plus service, you could go onto the store's website and redeem you could just put it in your download in your cart and just confirm it. And it would just be in your account. So when I bought the PS4 and I went to the download queue, every PSN title that I redeemed through the website was sitting there waiting for me to download. So I played stuff like Rezogun and Don't Starve, Mercenary Kings. I mean,
I wanted to play all those. I've heard so many good things about Rezogun, which I have, because they gave it away with, like, whenever you got the console.
Yeah.
But I've heard amazing things about Don't Starve.
I played a little bit of it. I mean, it was on PC before, and it got a lot of great reviews. I played a little bit on PS4, and it's a very interesting survival game, which kind of mixes, like, a little roguelike genre where if you die, you kind of start all over.
Yeah, I've heard them talk about it on the Indoor Kids, and I know they liked it a lot.
And I think playing it on the Vita is so much better for some reason, like going through all the menus to craft stuff, and to go through your items. It's so much easier just by using the shoulder buttons on that device. And it still looks good. It still sounds good. It's one of those games you should have, like, a pair of headphones attached to it.
You were saying, Jason, about if you have gold on your Xbox One, they now offer free games, but that's something that PlayStation Plus has been doing for like 2 years now.
Yeah.
Where if you pay the $50 a year, or sometimes you can get it at a discount if you watch the sales on like cheapassgamer.com or gamerdeals.net, you can find it whenever it's at a discounted price. And yeah, they'll throw up games up there. Like, I think they had the last Uncharted game for free. There's always something every month that's interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah, but what Adam was saying with the PlayStation Plus, in that whenever you purchase a game, like, they have these cross-platform games. Like, so if you buy it on the PS4, you also can own it, if it's available, on the PS Vita. Which is the handheld.
That's cool.
And, yeah, it's really convenient and really nice.
And the PS3, if they make it available for that as well.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right.
Well, Adam, let me ask you this. You've put out one episode of your show, The Past and the Pending podcast.
Two episodes.
The mission statement included.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
But,
right,
yeah.
Right. Are you working on episode two now?
I am trying to schedule a date. I originally wanted to do it tomorrow, but I think that's going to be postponed, one, because it's my birthday tomorrow, and I'm just want to kind of take it easy.
Happy birthday!
Well, thank you. I need to get in contact. When I announced the podcast to some of my friends, I had about three or four people say they would like to be a guest on an upcoming episode, and I'm trying to get in contact with the second person who made a request for that, and we'll see if we can do something maybe next weekend.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, sorry, Adam.
Happy birthday to you.
Now, I want you to tell me the format of your show.
The format is basically this, or at least what it is so far. I will have the guest. We're starting with an option. we start with every medium, books, TV, film, TV, video games, books, and even music if necessary. I try to make it optional for the guests. If they don't have something picked out for a certain topic, we don't have to cover. We can just move on. But say we start with film, and I will let the guests pick something that they've chosen from the past. Then I'll pick something from the past. Then they get to choose something from the present or as recent as possible. And then I do the same. And we basically go through every medium like that, and we talk about it for as long as we feel is necessary or comfortable with.
Cool. So you don't have like, okay, the timer is set. We have 1 hour, go.
Well, based on this past episode, not really, because the guest I had on, his name is Joe Stepp. He apparently had 2 or 3 hours to kill, and he didn't mind talking at length for stuff about, like, Cinderella Man, which I think we talked for about 30 minutes about.
You know what's funny is I've never seen that film, but I was listening to you guys talk about it, and I was like, man, I should watch that.
That's one of those movies. I listen to the show, and it's one of those movies I have a huge problem with, because Ron Howard and Akiva Goldsman got into this whole revisionist history vibe with it. And it's the Max Baer and, what's his name? The Russell Crowe character?
James Braddock.
Yeah, James Braddock. And apparently they were the best of friends in real life. And yeah. I have kind of issues with that movie. It's a little too sugar-coated sweetness for me. Even the povertiness of it, like, oh, we're so in poverty. Oh, you can't get a job at the docks. Oh, it's all so perfect.
It's very Hollywood type of story.
Oh, God, is it ever Hollywood?
When I saw it, and this was like not too long after it was released on DVD, I didn't mind it. There are some Ron Howard, Akiva Goldsman, collaborations, which I can't stand, or I just, just puts me to sleep, but for some reason, I think, like, the earnestness of several of the performances, like Russell Crowe and Paul Giamatti, which my co-host, that was his favorite performance in the movie, I think that got us past the weaknesses.
Right, of the script. You overlook things.
I'm just an asshole. I get hung up on the dumbest things.
Well, I spoke to him. I didn't make it really clear when I mentioned this in the podcast. Like, there are certain films that are based on real events, and they take dramatic liberties, and sometimes they paint certain characters based on real life, and they make them look a little bad. Like, The Insider was the example I was trying to use, in that the Mike Wallace character came off as, like, some kind of a corporate stooge, and then he just had a change of heart. And Mike Wallace was not at all happy about that. And he made great pains of it to explain that not only was he fighting against it in reality, but also the character that Philip Baker Hall played, who was there, I think their supervisor, I forget his name. He was also, he didn't cave into corporate pressure either. I don't watch these kind of movies for, like, their factual,
Right.
How close they get the fact. I mean, it's just, however, I can't even talk right now. I think it works for what they're trying to do.
Right. No, I agree with you. I'm sorry, Jason.
They take dramatic license and really, and a lot of movies, you choose at the beginning whether it's going to bother you or not. Like, for instance, Braveheart. I know they took liberties with that, but don't care. Awesome movie, right?
Yeah. JFK. But a movie totally based on horse shit. I mean, there's not an ounce of truth in it.
Exactly.
It's quite possibly one of the biggest farcical.
It's all theory, Bill. See?
Well, it's more than theory. It's like flat out Oliver Stone accusing people.
It could have happened. That's all I'm saying. Now, say like a movie like Glory.
Story movie.
The movie Glory. I think they should have changed the ending where everyone lived. You know, like Matthew Broderick and all the black soldiers.
Then they all got their own land and farms and families.
They actually kick some ass at the end, you know, and they don't all die.
And then like a bombing raid comes over them from the future.
I would have given it a happy ending. Wouldn't that have been great? But people would have been like, oh, this didn't happen. Or like the Alamo, where we actually win. Yeah! The North Wall never falls. They're like, damn, this North Wall, they reinforced it. Can't get in.
Extra stuff. Did
Ron Howard do a remake or a revision version of that?
Somebody did. With Billy Bob Thornton. I never saw it, but yeah, it was a disaster, wasn't it? Or really bad or long or something.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yes, very unmemorable to when I saw it.
Yeah, I'd rather see the John Wayne version. Right?
Yeah.
Now, Adam, that's what's cool. So people, they listen to your show, you're going to talk about all sorts of subjects. That's really cool. It's funny that, the fact that you get into music too, that's crazy because if they're like,
that.
Hey, Adam, I can't wait to talk about this new Trisha Yearwood album or something. What are you going to do?
Oh,
are you going to graciously decline or?
I want to do an episode where we talk about Con Air.
No.
That would be awesome. Do you have to like the film, or are you gonna like movie you hate, or something like that?
Do you have veto power?
it can be whatever. If they want to talk about a movie, if the guest or myself wants to talk about a movie that we didn't care for, I mean, we can do that. I think actually we should just to add a little variety to it.
Yeah, totally. Just have fun. Like I was saying, last week, I don't know if you heard that, but I was saying, just keep doing the show and you get more into it and, it's becomes second nature. You know what I mean? And I love the idea that you have a structure, because that's something that I've always had on this show, a structure. I think just because I'm structure minded and, when we don't do that, the lunchtime show where we just talk or whatever, that's fun. It can be fun, but it goes against my nature. I totally want to make something let's talk about this now. You know what I mean?
But that could also go horribly wrong. I mean, just listen to whenever we filled in for the live test show. I don't think anybody will ever hear that one ever again. We had nothing. We were just spinning our wheels for an hour.
If we're insecure, we don't know. I don't know why, because
we didn't so we wanted to make it as bad as possible.
I think we did. It was actually pretty entertaining when I listened back
to it.
At the time, Bill, I thought it was a disaster. But if I listen to it now, it's a fond nostalgia, how ridiculous it is. And I think it's pretty funny.
What the hell are we doing on a fake radio station?
With a timer attached to
your
ass.
Adam, I want to thank you, first of all, for being a patron of the show of Entertainment Landfill. And what's funny is you mentioned in your last voicemail that you didn't know what those Steven outtakes were.
Yes.
Have you listened?
Among many other things.
It would be so funny for you to go back and listen to any of those early episodes, even if it was as far back as maybe episode 100 or something, and then start from there. I'm not going to say go back to 1 or anything. You might be entertained by
2.
The beginning, the Talk Radio X era began at episode 90 when we did their first live show. And maybe you'll be entertained by that. I don't know.
Have the Ollie Barrett breaks in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't edit them out or anything.
Oh, that's awesome.
No. Actually, no. I don't know why I'm thinking that. Here's what it was, Bill. We would play. Remember, it's not like a real radio station where we hear anything on their end. They would just interrupt our show and play Ollie Barrett while we were talking. So we just had our regular breaks.
Because they are a real radio station.
The only time you would hear Ollie Barrett is if you were listening to Talk Radio X while our show was on.
One guy from Sweden was at the time.
Yeah, I was just recording on our end, so no, there is no Ollie Barrett in there. Okay. There's one episode with fake Ollie Barrett, and it was you.
Yes, it was me. Was that the Godzilla episode? Or no, the Cloverfield episode.
Have you listened to that, Adam? The Cloverfield?
I have.
Okay.
Okay, so that's basically from that era.
Nice.
And you can hear as it goes on, the more frustrated we get with it.
I don't think so. I was having fun.
By those last like three episodes, we were getting very frustrated.
Oh, I know what you mean. No, no, I would say not on the Cloverfield episode, but you mean we were frustrated with Talk Radio X.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know what? There's a funny story behind all that. Have we ever talked about that on the air where the night we were going to announce we were quitting Talk Radio X, that we were like, okay, we're done. Yeah. We're going to make a statement or whatever. Jessica, Radio Dan's wife, who, intern Jessica on the show, she called in like, hey, what are you guys doing?
And I was
like,
my God, yeah.
I can't do it now, Bill. I was like, I was writing to Bill on Skype. I was like, dude, I can't do it. She's, you know, she was just having fun doing the news and DVDs with us. I was like, I can't do it. I get, and so we just ended the show like normal. It was our, we didn't make any kind of dramatic statement or anything. She just threw me off my game. Adam, you gotta go back and listen to these episodes. You're gonna get all sorts of good stuff.
There's so much drama.
It's funny how there was like, you didn't even have to do anything here and there was drama back then. It was
funny.
The
show after us that they abused. Knives and stabbing weapons. And,
yes, it was the guy, the conspiracy guy, Toby.
There was Toby. And I actually liked Toby. I thought he was a decent guy.
He was a decent guy, but he did like a whole episode about the 9/11 and he was one of the truthers. And I started trying to call in about knives and stabbing weapons. It was like, you know what they did with that metal? They turned it into knives and stabbing weapons.
No, the funniest thing that happened is Vanessa called in and she was like talking about 9/11 and she goes, and knives and stabbing weapons. And Toby goes, it's not funny, okay? And Vanessa goes, I'm so sorry. And she just hangs up.
Well, like, there was one dude who kept the conversation going for so long.
It was Andy.
Was that Andy? And then at the end?
Even Eugene would call in a few times.
At the very end, he brought up knives and stabbing weapons. Yes. And it was just like 5 minutes of conversation to be a joke.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Adam. I didn't mean to go down memory lane on you there.
But we have to bring up B-Dub. Do you remember B-Dub?
Absolutely.
He thought he was like Tom Likas, Howard Stern. Oh, he actually interviewed porn stars. And I mean, it was so lame.
It's just a different time in the show's history, Adam. But
Now I want to go back and listen to those shows because it's making me happy nostalgic because it was.
You should.
Yeah, I am.
Go start with episode 90, and I think, okay, from episode 90 to 115 is when we quit, I think, something like that. Okay. So it was like this short window where we were, and you notice those shows also are like 2 hours long because we didn't have 3 hours to do the show. They're much shorter, and that sucked. But Adam, I'm so sorry to hijack your,
No, not at all. I need to brush up on my NIM history, and this is apparently the only way it's going to happen aside from
isn't it sad that
going
we're
back and listening, doing the hard work all by myself.
It's the Cliff's Notes.
Yes. That's what the best of the best of is kind of like a sampler. You're confused by some of it, but it kind of works. Like there were like several episodes that I listened to when I first started listening to your show, and obviously the best of was part of it. The discussion that had, I think it was you, Jason, your father, and Andy Sims about film music.
Oh, cool.
And there was also a lunchtime special where you talked to Andy about the beginnings of Nowhere in Mulberry.
Yeah, the
so,
last episode.
Those are just excellent primer episodes for anyone to jump in, but yeah, it does. I every now and then I think I need to download some of these older episodes and just really see how things have changed, but also some of those references I'm never going to understand any other way.
Like did you wonder what Steven's Chris Rock impressions were and stuff like that?
Well, I was actually
smoke my taste buds off.
Now that you ask about it, I was kind of wondering how far the Freddy Forks thing went. Like, did you ever listen to his podcast?
No. He was on that one episode, and then later we got a Freddy Forks
Napoleonic War figurines.
It was like we got a Freddy Forks promo to play on the show. And that was genius. I thought it was one of the funniest
things.
The URL
for that was hilarious.
Like,
You're listening to Nowhere Mulberry, film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
But I have it somewhere. He sent a promo, and it was to Van Halen.
Oh, the Dreams. Yeah, the song that they used
at the end of the Best Of episode.
Right, okay, so you heard that on there.
That's one of the greatest things that we ever got.
It's the Freddie Fork Show! Yeah, that was awesome. But Adam, carte blanche, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, I was one to open when you called me. I was one to a quote Lethal Weapon. Because I had a kind of an idea related to that. When you called me, I was wanting to say, "Hi, I'm Officer Murtaugh. What's your name?" Because that scene where he's talking to the kid still just creeps me out. And I was thinking about that. Remember the Point Break Live stage show that was going along, that was going around this country where they would pick someone from the audience to play the Keanu Reeves part.
No, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, well, I was thinking last night at work, there should be a version of that for Lethal Weapon, but the person that they pick from the audience plays the Roger Murtaugh role, and he has to talk in that tone of voice throughout the entire show, like, I'm too old for this shit.
Tell him your name, Alfred.
I think that basically we didn't mention it in the Lethal Weapon movie Mini, but after listening to it, I was like, I honestly think he improv'd the entire movie.
I think we mentioned how awkward, how he was like a stranger in his own home throughout that entire movie.
I was like, oh my God, it's improv'd. He just like, okay, and action. He's like, well, Alfred, hi! You know, it's just like, they just kind of like made it up as they went along, I think.
It was a thing!
Or maybe we're being punked and we're told that Martin Riggs is the crazy one. It's actually Roger Murtaugh, because how can a father of three children not know how to relate to kids?
Right.
Well, kids come in while he's bathing.
Roger's autistic. It's all in his head, guys. Maybe that's
it. It's in a snow globe.
Oh my god. Oh my goodness. You're right, Bill.
It's crazy. It is.
I knew Lethal Weapon 4 never happened. It was all in his head.
Yep, that Chinese family dream.
Oh, man.
The forefathers.
Well, Adam, I can't wait to hear your next episode of your show. And, you know, like I said, trial and error, you'll get that sound worked out where it's not left and right channel. How did you record that? Did you both record your own ends and he sent you his part?
No, there is this program. I spoke to one of my friends who runs his own video game podcast called The Unknown Connection. He recommended a recording program called iFree Skype Recorder. And what it does is it records an audio file the moment your Skype call goes active. Saves the file to your computer, and I just ran that through Audacity and basically compressed it and edited what little editing I did.
Do you
I didn't do that much, and it clearly it shows.
Do you have an old MP3 player that has a line in, like, where you could record audio on, like, an old MP3 player or something like that, digital recorder? Well, what I'm saying is, what I do is I actually record the show out from the headphone out jack into a digital recorder. And you could always do that, too, where it's off the computer and it's actually going out through the headphone line. You know, you use a Y splitter or something.
RCA cables.
One going
basically the monitor.
Yeah, one going out of your headset, one going to your headset, and the other going to your digital recorder. And you're not actually recording on the computer, you know, using a program or anything. That's another option you could think you might be able to use.
Yeah, I'll probably need to purchase a digital recorder and any necessary cables for it.
Yeah, and you don't have to go real big on the digital recorder.
Dude, like this show, I'm not kidding. it is recorded on a 1 gigabyte digital recorder. And, cause we're not gonna talk that long. It's not gonna go over a gig, you know. But, yeah, you don't need anything huge or elaborate.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm just starting out with this, technology, and I'm sure the longer I do it, the more I'll find better, more efficient ways to, record it. But I've been upfront with it at the very beginning. Say, I'm just, you know, baby steps. So,
small moves, Ellie.
It was very trial and error at the beginning, and I'll never forget asking Bill, like, should I record the show? It has two options, 64 kilobit or 128 kilobit. And Bill was like, I guess 64. And I was like, okay, 64. So we recorded at 64 kilobit. Dude, it sounds like shit.
Yeah, it's way overcompressed.
It was like the first two episodes you'll notice sound like shit because they're recorded at 64 kilobits. Then episode 3 is recorded at 128 kilobits. So it's just like it's trial and error, you know?
Yeah.
And I would say it doesn't matter until you get up to like episode 10. You know, then you're like, dude, you've hit it a stride and you're going. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. And I've been thinking about if there comes a month, and I think you've even asked me maybe when I sent a voicemail when I was first talking about making this podcast, like maybe doing special episodes or something that fits on an episode that focuses on a specific topic. And I was thinking about maybe dedicating an episode to a certain movie that I like or a series that I like. And I was thinking about doing, whenever we get close to February and Jupiter Ascending will finally be released, I was planning to do a podcast episode on the Matrix sequels. The sequels, mind you, because I'm one of those crazy lunatics who actually enjoys the sequels.
I am also one of
Bill,
them.
Bill is the only other person besides you, so... Should have been on that episode.
It's the philosophical stuff that I find fascinating.
Yeah, you shouldn't have me. I'm a cynical bastard. I love The Matrix, the first one. I can't talk about the sequels. So I'm going to be respectful here and just bow out. Okay, guys?
No. Right. Right. Or that, or maybe the director's cut of Kingdom of Heaven, which no one can apparently try to... there was a time I just couldn't shut up about it on the message boards that I would frequent too. I fell head over heels in love with that film.
Yeah, that's good.
Cool.
Anyway, yeah, I'll keep trucking. I'll keep those alternative recording ideas in mind for future stuff.
Let's try it out.
And we'll see where it goes from there.
And also, the reason like you record off the computer, if anything happens to your computer, it doesn't mess up your recording. You know what I mean?
Okay. Right.
Like there have been times where we've lost power during the show and the recorder keeps going and I don't have to worry about it. And you can hear the computer booting back up and everything. But if, like, you were in the middle of a recording on your computer, you're totally screwed, you know? So it's just something to think about.
Yeah.
And you can even do both, record on your computer and record outside your computer just to have a backup.
Safeguard, yeah.
Yeah. But that's a pain in the ass. Well, Adam, is there anything else before we move on with the show? Because we need to talk about Utopia.
Yeah. Very briefly, I asked this in a voicemail, but it was buried. It was a question buried in a voicemail that was like 7 minutes long. And I think I ended the question with the voicemail with another question. And that's it. This was on the episode where I think maybe a week or two ago where Bill was kind of late coming in. And the question was kind of geared toward him because it was based on a couple of titles that he mentioned in his DVDs segment. There were two movies earlier this year that both have made it onto Blu-ray and DVD, The Lego Movie and Under the Skin. And I am curious to see if either you or Bill or Steven has seen these movies and what do you think? Because my understanding was y'all missed it out on during the theatrical run.
Yeah. I don't know about Bill and Steven, but I haven't seen either one. It's unbelievable how much I wanted to see the Lego Movie.
Saw the Lego Movie.
Still haven't seen it.
I actually bought both of them. I saw Under the Skin at the Wexner Center for the Arts, and Jonathan Glazer was there.
Awesome.
And there was a Q&A, and as I was watching the movie, I was very confused, but it's quite possibly one of the best science fiction films I've seen in a very long time. Like a hardcore science fiction movie from just kind of this ambiguous, it's a movie that when you watch it, it doesn't answer questions for you. In fact, it poses more questions than it gives answers. So it can be a little confusing and off-putting, but then as you start to process it and figure out what's going on, and it's sort of mind-blowing. And then when you hear how it was shot in, you know, using different people, and it just, it's quite an accomplishment for a science fiction movie.
Yeah.
So I really liked it. And the Lego movie is fun as hell.
Yeah, that's my favorite movie of the year so far. I think that, I mean, visually it's great, and the voice acting is wonderful, and all the writing, the script is smart. Super smart.
Yeah.
For, you know, all of the gags. But the way that it does its own little takes on the hero journey, not only how it pertains to the main character, but also the female character, mm-hmm. and just the way that the third act, the segment involving the man upstairs, that just blew me away, and I was just fighting back tears near the end of it.
I was shocked that, I mean, it's so much more than a kid's movie.
Yeah.
And Chris Pratt, his voice work, Will Arnett's voice work. I'm blanking on the female voice, but I know who it is.
Get me this on Blu-ray for my birthday, okay?
Stat.
And you want the 3D version, because the 3D is awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I wanted to see it so bad in the theater. It just never happened. It's unbelievable.
It's really fun. Emma would love it.
I still have never seen Frozen yet.
What?
Emma's been watching it in her room. I'm like, when are we going to watch it 3D? Oh, we'll get around to it. Okay, let me ask you this. Would it be sad if while she's at school now, I'm like, I'm going to watch Frozen by myself?
Absolutely not.
All right.
Because I've only ever watched Frozen by myself.
I'm going to do it then, man. I'm going to I'm going to write about it. Guys, just watch Frozen by myself. I loved it. I'm not embarrassed.
Don't judge me.
It's funny. it's raining outside right now, and the dog is soaked. And I just realized there's like muddy paw prints on the floor.
Well, we're gonna have to wait.
And she's trying. Why are you trying to jump up on me? This is really bad timing. I don't.
You're my rug, bitch.
After we take a break, I'll get a towel and dry you. Well, Adam, thank you for being on the show, and I'm going to ask you if there's anything else.
No, there is nothing else. This was something I was looking forward to ever since I became a patron and paid for the certain perk of it. And I know there was some confusion about how this would come along, and I know that this, and I understand that this is something that you don't regularly do, and I appreciate you giving me feedback about how you would start this all up, and just thanks for giving me an opportunity to just be on here and talk about it. But really, thank you for just making this awesome show like you've been doing all these years. And I say this every voicemail, but it's true. I look forward to future episodes, whether they're just regular or special. And if there's ever an opportunity to talk with you guys again, I welcome it. So thank you really for everything that you do.
Awesome. Thank you, Adam. And you're welcome. That's
and
awesome.
Good luck with your show.
Thank you.
Keep at it.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely keep at it. Make it a regular thing. Like, I'm going to do this even if it's just once a month, I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah.
If you make it, the listeners will come slowly, but they'll
come. I'm going to do this daily. I'm going to do a show every day. No, I'm kidding. That would be ridiculous.
By yourself.
You'll just need enough money first.
Jaystrom and the dog.
Well, Adam, thank you so much for being on the show, and we will have you on again. And I look forward to checking out the next episode of your show. And leave a spot for me, because I'm going to try to think of a movie I'd want to talk about with you.
Will do, sir.
Maybe after I see the Lego movie, huh? Huh?
Ah.
Do you like how I just invite myself on a show?
Absolutely. It's the only way to get invited anywhere.
Well, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, and good luck on the rest of tonight's show.
All right. Thanks a lot, Adam. I hope you'll be listening, because we're going to talk about an awesome new show on Fox called Utopia.
You're really promoting this thing, aren't you?
No. Oh, my God. It's so ridiculous. All right, Adam. Check you later, man.
Check you later.
All right, man. Let's do it, guys. Let's check out what's on TiVo. All right, guys. There's a show on Fox, and I don't know. Would you call it, Bill, is it a Big Brother killer?
Big Brother's a Big Brother killer.
Okay, I don't even know what the hell this show is. It's called Utopia, where these people live on this...
five-acre plot.
It's a commune, yeah. I guess, where they have cameras absolutely everywhere, hidden in barns, and just every nook and cranny, there's a camera.
And they're camo cameras, like, hey, you can't see this camera.
Right, and it's they bring these people from all walks of life, but they're all nutty people. There's like,
they're totally insane. None of these people went through a background check or a psychiatric evaluation.
No psychological profiles. They have a Pentecostal preacher, a yoga instructor, an ex-convict, which apparently, I guess that's defines him because there's nothing else going on. A backwoods hillbilly without any teeth in his mouth.
No teeth.
He has no teeth. Okay.
Just take them out.
There's a
pregnant lesbian.
There's a, I don't even know what she describes herself as, the real Katniss. She's a huntress. She's good with a bow and arrow, right, Belle?
Huntress Vex. Yeah. She apparently lives in a video game.
Yes. She is a video game character, isn't she?
She is.
There's a chef, a personal chef. They're lucky they have him. There's also a general contractor guy, which they're lucky they have him too, yeah. Even though there's something really creepy about
him. There's something very creepy about him, but every time I see him, I can't help but see Jason Segel.
There's also this weird, tall, blonde, skinny lady. What would you say? She's kind of new age, vegan kind of.
She's Yoga Jones from Orange is the New Black.
She's the kind of, she wants them to not have a toilet. She wants them to
poo outdoors.
And so she can mulch it and help grow things, that kind of thing. That's all.
You know how difficult that, I mean, you gotta have like a true composting toilet to be able to do that. You can't just, that's really tough to build because there's so much bacteria.
What's so funny is they also have a younger girl. She's a nurse or something, the Asian
girl.
She's a vet tech, and there's a musician guy. She immediately gravitates towards the musician, this long-haired kind of dude who's just chilled and laid back. And, dude, they're, like, macking the first night, like, making out. And it's so funny. There's a scene later on where she's talking about all this stuff, and he's kind of just, like, sitting there. And she goes, what are you thinking about? He's like looking around. He goes, there's got to be some place in here where we could do it and no one could see us.
They're in like the hot tub and she's rubbing like a lime or something all over him. And I was like, this is just, that can't be good for the skin.
What's so funny? Cause later he goes, I found a place. Come on, come on. And she's like, oh, and they run into the night. They go up into the barn. There's a bunch of hay and stuff. And they go up there. All of a sudden camera. There's a camera up there.
Of course there is.
And they're like, they fall behind the hay, but he's like, I think it's so funny. He's like, where could we do it here?
Well, she basically, I mean, wrapped her legs around his head.
Oh, God. I think they even, like, some of the women joked that, like, she was in heat, and some of the guys were like, dude, that guy better watch out, man. He doesn't know what he's got himself into.
She's going to be the second pregnant person on the show.
Like, I'm pregnant. I can see that happening. But, okay, what's so crazy about the hillbilly guy is, first of all, I can't believe that if you don't have any teeth, I can't believe in this day and age you don't get even cheap dentures. Maybe do they have sold dentures at Walmart? Anything?
No, that's...
But his face is like all sunken in because he doesn't have any teeth. It's really creepy. And
And he mumbles. I mean, it's yeah. that my grandma.
Is he Boomhauer from?
She doesn't wear her teeth, and I can't understand her.
Yeah, my grandma. She wore dentures, and at night she would soak them in the little thing, whatever.
Oh yes, the effervescent.
Yeah, and so she'd come out, and she'd be like, "Good night," and I'd be like, "What the hell, grandma?
You oh my god, what happened to your teeth?"
It's amazing when you don't have teeth. There's like you lose structure to your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what he looks like all the time. It's so funny. There's this, I have this clip coming up where, you know, the chef is, they have $5,000 to last, I don't know, did they say a year, basically? They have,
yeah, well, one
year. Needs to last a long time, and they need to find a way to make the food work for them. In fact, create more food. And so the chef's like, we need to get vegetables and seeds. We're going to plant shit. We're going to grow stuff and all this stuff. And the guys, the ex-convict dude, he's like, no, man, I want a case of ramen noodles. He's like, I want a case of ramen noodles. And there's this great part where he's like,
I loved his excuse for it. He goes, we can use them packets to season shit.
Yeah, you can season all sorts of other food. And the guy's calling it. And all of a sudden, okay, the ex-con and the hillbilly are become best friends. And they're like, we don't need to do all this stuff, like grow stuff and whatever. You and I, we need to form our own government. And they're like, what are we going to call it? And he goes, we're going to call it the Utopia States of Freedom. Yeah, that sounds good. And they're like, yo, we aren't with y'all anymore. We're the Utopia States of Freedom. And they're like, okay. And they're like, hey, are you guys going to help us dig this? And they're like, no, man, we're the Utopia States of Freedom. We don't help y'all do that.
We're a sovereign nation.
And so they can't agree on food. The guys want to order seeds and vegetables. So they're like, dude, we're gonna crack this safe. And so
we're going to plant one of them bricks of ramen and get a ramen tree.
So they like start messing with the lock, the combination lock, but they can't get into it. Eventually they do.
They find someone leaves the combination out.
Right. And they're like, man, we're going to get into this. And they pull all the money out, by the way, and they're like counting it. And people are like, what are you guys doing? They're like, nah, we're just taking our share. Don't you worry about it. And so what's funny is there's no detail on the show. All they show them is having fights and stuff. They don't have electricity and they need to make it. So I'm like, oh, cool. This show is going to be just like, the colony where they make their own power. They don't spend any time on that. They show them digging a trench for power, but they don't explain any of it. And all of a sudden one day the guy's like, check it out. And he turns on the lights. They have power, but you have no idea how it happened. So the guy's like, all right. Now that they have power, they can charge the phone. So this guy's calling. One thing these two knuckleheads don't know is he's not ordering right then. He's asking prices on stuff, and he's writing it down. Like, how much is this? How much is this? And the guy's like, yo, give me my ramen noodles. Give me my soups. My ramen soups, yo. Get them now. Yo, I'm going to smash that phone if you don't order it. I'm going to smash it. And the guy's like, dude, calm down, calm down. And all of a sudden, the hillbilly guy comes in, whose name is Red, by the way. Yo, I'm Red. No, he's a hillbilly, so he doesn't talk like that. So he walks in, and they're like, yeah, man, order soup. And he goes, guys, no, listen, we're gonna get some prices or whatever. And they're like, yo, I don't care about any of this food you got here. And they start taking the canned goods and smashing them with their feet, smashing them. They're throwing them down,
insurrection.
Guy. They're just going insane, and you got to hear this, first of all. And afterwards, the guy was like, the chef guy goes, if you would have listened to me, I wasn't ordering yet. I was getting prices. And they were kind of like, oh, man, it's cool, man.
No, it's not.
It's like, you guys destroyed food. And it's so funny. They're like, I'm going to get a pound of brown rice. They go, brown rice? Yo, these are rich people. God.
I need some Uncle Ben.
I need some minute rations. I'm hungry now.
What, after they finally get into the
With
safe.
Great rice comes great responsibility.
Oh my God. When they finally get into the safe, they order, yo, I want so like a dozen frozen hamburger patties. And they're like, guys, we don't have a refrigerator. There's nothing to keep cold. We want some hot dogs. And go, dude, get Oreos. Yeah, we want a pack of Oreos.
You want DiGiorno because it ain't delivery?
Yeah, and then they get, like, some Ruffles. And as Then they're like,
they got ridges.
Oh my God, it's so funny. They build a fire and they're like, we can make these burgers ourselves. We don't need it, Chef Boy or whatever. So they're over there making it and they're like, hey, you guys want to eat some of our burgers? And they're like, yeah. And they go over there and they have hamburgers and chips and they're going, now we want to talk to you about the United States.
Yeah.
We want to talk about the Utopia States of Freedom. And they're
they basically gave away everything they had. So their hissy fit accomplished nothing.
What's funny is the Red, who doesn't have teeth, he was like, I can't eat rhubarb or any of that stuff. I don't have teeth. And then
how the hell is he eating burgers or hot dogs?
He's like eating hamburgers and he sticks that Oreo in his mouth. He's like, and I'm like, dude, what the
hell?
That
has to hurt.
I know. I wanted to see him like, he takes the Oreo and then smashes it into crumbs and then just.
I thought maybe he would like put a rock in his mouth.
He eats like a bird.
This is my natural teeth.
It's like, I smash it into fine paste and then I stick it and I drink it.
I have developed a gizzard.
Okay, you guys aren't going to believe this. You guys, just listen to this.
I swallow everything whole.
What's funny is the guy who's trying to talk to them, who's a lawyer, his voice sounds just like Owen Wilson. He's like, guys, come on.
Guys.
Just listen to this.
This is Aaron Thomas calling from Utopia. I would like to place an order.
Where?
Chef Aaron makes the first grocery order for the Pioneers.
Do you carry quinoa?
Yeah, we do.
And the Utopia State of Freedom muscles in on the call.
Give me some ramen soups, at least one pack. I need it, bro. It got the seasoning in it that we need to season some of the food.
I know.
Now it's good on everything.
I'm trying my best. Yo, order some soups out of my money. Order some soups.
And four cucumbers at $3.56.
Okay. Radishes.
Yo, bitch. Who's that? Got radishes.
You're up to $59.58, by the way.
Can I get carrots?
And don't forget my soups, okay? Don't forget these soups.
Guys, come on.
I don't care. I want my soups.
And then,
or that zucchini and shit that I don't eat that nobody gonna eat. Like, you can't feed 10 people. Pickle radish. I don't give a.
That's dictatorship.
There's
I break
Red.
That
he
phone, bro. If y'all violate me, I'm breaking the phone. I bet you it's my word.
Forever. Dictatorship. I don't want you.
Man, I'm not trying to do a dictatorship. I was trying to get rice and beans.
And now we're ordering all this other stuff?
Yeah, I can get whatever y'all want. I know what I need to survive.
Yeah.
A box, it come 30 soups in a box for $2.50. That's what I want. Who cares about a pickle radish? Ramen noodle soups in a bag. I need that. I want it for me.
Can y'all just let me?
It's either I'm going to call back and get it or I'm breaking the phone. That's my word, homie. That's my word, homie.
It's clear Dave is not getting his ramen soup and tempers boil over. The USF gets ready for war.
I'm staying around because I'm breaking the phone right now if I don't get my soup. You watch, bet that. That's my survival food.
Get that man
if y'all
soup.
Want a survival for horseradishes and sweet potatoes,
nothing like a whole cup of soup.
And then you guys are pulling me apart.
It don't matter.
Like, what the
it
you want
don't matter.
From
we already got that here. We already got that here.
Open that. Throw it in the lake.
Go ahead. I don't care. I don't need none of that. I don't need none of that. Throw it away. Throw all this. All the go away. I don't give a.
He's smashing all the canned goods.
Red.
F your green beans, bitch.
That's when Red starts joining him and stomping.
I don't care about no horseradishes. All that.
That's what's gonna happen.
Rest don't give a. I don't care. No protein in this horseradish. We want no pickle horseradishes. Who eat that? How we gonna survive off of pickle horseradishes? Get out of here.
Wow.
More than two centuries of American history in less than a week. Pioneers, power struggles, secession, and war.
What the hell is this guy
talking
about?
Where's
this
new
land headed? That's pretty deep, yo.
The host of this show looks like he's got a Salvador Dali mustache and this hat on.
He's a hipster carnival barker.
He's so weird looking.
Step right up. See the toothless the hillbilly.
Oh my God. There was
the elite Oreos for you if you
throw
them
at him. Part of the first episode, they had a bunch of chickens, and one of the chickens had died. And the lady Bella, she's like, oh, the chicken died. I wonder if this can still be eaten. And Red's like, hell yeah, you can still eat that. It's still good. And he goes over to the chef guy, and he's like, hey, this chicken died. I want you to cook it. And he's like, no, I'm not cooking a dead chicken. I don't know how it died or what it got into. And he goes, come on, man, you can cook it. Man, all you got to do is, man, you pluck it and you smell it. That meat smells good. If any of it smells bad, don't cook that part. It's good. And he goes, no, I'm not cooking it. So he gets mad and he goes, everyone treats me like I'm stupid. And he goes over and, you know, they have a certain amount of water to use, water supply. And he turns on the hose and he just starts spraying it mad. And they're like, you're wasting water. And he goes, I can do what I want. I'm getting a drink. And he's like, don't you mess with it. And Bella goes over and turns the water over. He goes, bitch, what are you doing? I'm getting a drink of water. It's like, he just throws a tantrum. It's so odd how the people just get set off.
Who are these people?
And it's so strange. The women have no problem getting completely nude in front of everybody. Like, there's a lake there, and they're like, oh my God, let's go swimming. And they all get naked. One of the guys there, he's a Pentecostal preacher, minister.
I thought you were going to say he's a pedophile.
He's a Pentecostal. And he's like, I cannot look at this. And he turns away. And later on, he talks to Hex, the huntress, Katniss Everdeen or whatever. He's like, as a man, I cannot partake in the flesh. You see, I have certain feelings. I cannot look at a nude woman. So basically what he's saying is he doesn't want to get turned on because it's sinful, right?
Well, the first time he sees it, he's like turns his back and starts praying to God about his uncomfortable boner.
Give me strength. Well, even eventually the chef guy, he's like, you know what? I've had enough of this too. I'm trying to concentrate over here. These women are bathing themselves. And here's a conversation here I thought was funny. He's trying to explain to her how it actually does make him uncomfortable. There's, you know, breasts over there, like right over there. It's kind of distracting. That's all he's saying.
Breast and lady parts.
Let's check this out.
So the lake and waterfall are now home to regular nude bathing. Today, Huntress Hex is getting a topless hair wash from Bree.
Oh.
This is my utopia.
Ours too.
Oh, that's a contract.
Beautiful women bathing each other.
He has no problem with it.
Sexy, beautiful goddesses.
But Chef Aaron is less comfortable with the nudity than some of his fellow pioneers.
The one thing that is bothering some of the guys is the nudity.
This is also our bathing area, and sometimes I would like to bathe my whole body.
I mean, I know you want to bathe, but we built something around the hot shower over there so that women don't have to show themselves.
It's just making me feel self-conscious about my nudity makes me feel embarrassed or that I'm doing something bad when really it's just my naked form. I'm feeling like a slut now.
No, I just don't want to see ass.
Well, you could have told me sooner because I feel like crying.
What kind of man
don't do
is
that.
This?
Don't do that. Last thing I want is that.
I just don't understand, like, how flesh and bone became so sinful. Organized
religion. I hope you don't have bone. Well, I got bone.
I like, she's like, how did flesh and bone become so sinful? And she's like, organized religion. And I was like, I knew I hated religion for a reason.
How dare organized religion say I can't expose my bones?
The show is entertaining as hell because it's such a train wreck.
I have a really tough time watching it.
You can even watch live feeds of it, but.
Oh my gosh.
That, the Backwoods Hillbilly guy cracks me up, man. I just can't, the dude doesn't have any teeth.
He doesn't.
And I love the Bella. He has called her bitch on it. He's like, crazy bitch, stop talking to me. And then he just, oh my God,
I don't hear you talking.
Oh man, that's all I'm going to say about Utopia for now, but, are you intrigued?
It is the craziest shit I've seen on television in a very long time.
It is insane. And we're just going to quickly talk about Hell's Kitchen for a moment and then we're going to take a break. But. Did you guys see that Wolfgang Puck was on the episode?
Wolfgang Puck!
Did you know Hell's Kitchen was back, Steven?
No.
Wow! It was gone. It's been gone a month, right?
Yeah.
Maybe 2 months top. But it's back, a new season. They've got a new narrator. JP's gone. I'm guessing that he's like, I need a vacation. You do these seasons too close together or something. But Wolfgang Puck shows up and I cracked up at this choir, like, and all the women are like,
are you supermodels or are you chefs here?
We're both.
Oh, well done. You feed all the guys, huh?
Yeah.
I just want to hug you.
Yeah. And he's like, opens his arms.
He's such a perverted old man.
He is. He's a dirty old man.
Look at that.
He's like, oh, a very full-chested hug there. Okay, I have a short clip of Hell's Kitchen because there's a guy on there named JP, and there's a guy named JR, and it doesn't take Gordon long to... Yeah, no, it doesn't take him long to figure out what JP and JR stand for, and it's so silly, but it cracked me up. Let's check this out.
Good evening!
Good evening, sir.
Let's be honest, opening night is always challenging. The key to the success of tonight's service is in the communication. Get on your stations, we're opening it in just under 10 minutes from now.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Good luck, y'all.
While Chef Ramsay deals with the new crop of chefs in the kitchen, he will also be dealing with a new maitre d' in the dining room.
Okay, Mourinho.
Si, Chef.
You all set?
Oh. Absolutely, already. Ready to go.
The 13th time, Open Hell's Kitchen.
Sure. Armenian?
Let's go. Okay, so I'm one
Armenian.
Fernando.
Yes, Chef, coming up.
Fernando has stepped up to lead his
team. You know how you put it on that lobster. Give me a time.
30 seconds out.
30 seconds out. Heard.
Go! Come on!
Walking
with Sarah. Come on, Fernando. Put it down properly. Let's go.
Lobster! Right now, Chef.
Scallops!
Scallops coming.
Lobster tails.
Right behind you, Chef.
Hey, anytime, tonight.
Yes,
Chef. Chef Ramsay keeps bugging me for these scallops. So if you want raw scallops, then that's what I'm going to send you.
Finally.
Yeah,
so we don't be...
I think this is Dave from Utopia.
Hey, all of you, come here.
This screw bomb.
Look at that. Touch that.
Suits. Well,
look what you did for me. It's still moving.
Sorry, Chef.
Once the snowball starts, man, it doesn't stop.
Raw lobster.
That was my fault, Chef.
It's raw.
I'll drop three more.
JP.
Yes, Chef.
Just pathetic. JR.
Yes, Chef.
Just ridiculous.
Right now, I have something to communicate to all of you.
That's so funny. I have something to communicate to all of you. And of course, it's a train wreck. You can never, nobody is going to win this show.
Episode one's always a train wreck.
Because they all are like, all of them are train wrecks. None of them look competent. They're all horrible and stupid. And JP, he got eliminated the first episode. But he could have made more jokes like about just pathetic or something else. But it cracked me up. The show never changes exactly the same.
No, but it did change the narrator.
Yes, they did change that. So kudos to them. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about MasterChef and Hotel Hell. And we've got a cool The Strain to talk about, guys. So we'll be right back, guys. All right.
That makes good financial sense. Good advice.
Cool days always remind me of my mother's cinnamon bread. Maybe that's why I like the creamy cinnamon taste of Cafe Vienna so much. Or maybe I like it just because I like it. General Foods International Coffees.
I want a little more pizzazz.
Little pizzazz, sheer hair color wash.
Cheaper of shiny colors.
I can get a little or a lot.
Little pizzazz, sheer color wash.
I get gentle color and sheer shine.
Sheer sensation, that's all mine.
To wear all pizzazz, sheer color wash.
I get rich, shiny color.
Now I can choose, wash it out and pour shampoo.
New pizzazz, sheer color wash from Clairol. Choose a little or a lot of color.
Who couldn't use a little more pizzazz?
Crispy Critters, it's the low-sugar cereal for kids.
If it's low in sugar, how come it has those cute animals?
That's child psychology, but moms love it for the low sugar.
So Crispy Critters is good for our kids.
Do better, please.
Tonight, Al and Peg take sides.
Oh, look, Al, they're gonna fight.
In a war of the sexes. Can Al help Steve survive Marcy's love strike?
Think of Marcy. And take a look at...
My mother-in-law!
Married with Children, tonight.
Chicken and herb sauce. Want to know how to make it? Just take your chicken. Add custom cuisine. Crisp bird's eye vegetables smothered in delectable sauces. It adds up to a terrific meal. Bird's Eye Custom Cuisine.
It better be Bits. It better be Bits.
Oh, yeah, it's Bits, Spike. It's Bits, I tell you. It's Bits. It's Bits.
It better be Bits.
Oh, it's Bits, I tell you. Oh, boy, oh, boy. It's Bits. It's Bits. It's Bits.
It better be Kibbles and Bits and Bits and Bits, because dogs love crunchy kibbles with chewy bits. All kinds of bits. For a one-of-a-kind taste, dogs just gotta have...
Bits. better be Bits.
Kibbles and bits and bits and bits.
What I tell you, Spike? See? It's Bits. Oh, boy, it's Bits.
It's the bits that make it better.
I was asleep on the sofa when I heard, Dad, why doesn't the Jell-O gelatin fall out when it's upside down? And then I felt something cool plop on my face, and I heard, sorry, Dad. Jell-O gelatin. You can't be a kid without it.
Tonight, you have a choice. You can watch one movie of the week or three comedies of the year. First, it's Gary Shandling's show. People magazine gives it an A+ and calls it the best show of the new season. Then it's Duet. If you're tired of movie after movie on the networks, Duet is for you. And Tracy Ullman, one of People magazine's top five series of the year. Tonight, it's three comedies of the year on Fox.
Carrie is so very...
different. It's concentrated for rough, dry skin.
Silky smooth Carrie is so very...
special. Glides on smooth and absorbs quickly. Softens my skin every day.
Original or silky smooth formula Carrie is so very...
I love dinner parties.
You love dinner. Should country crock go here?
That rich, buttery country crock taste goes anywhere.
Or should it go with the green beans?
Great taste, fewer calories. We're having green beans?
You love green beans.
Must have been your first husband.
You are my first husband.
Oh, yeah.
Shed spread country crock. Rich, buttery taste. Fewer calories than regular margarine and no cholesterol.
They're here.
I'll get the door.
I'll get the country crock.
On second thought, you get the door.
Okay.
Will you stop it?
Beware, America.
Based on the original hit Double Dare, it's Primetime's all-new Family Double Dare, where kids put their parents through the ultimate physical challenge.
Is that disgusting or what?
It's slippery. It's slimy. It's messy. It's the all-new Family Double Dare. Premieres Saturday, April 9th.
Over the years, many cars have rolled across the drawing board of cartoonist Carl Urbano. Still, Mr. Urbano's favorite car is a Honda. He and his family own 10 Hondas in all. So you might say, Honda has helped draw the family together.
What's wrong, Sally?
Darn dishwashers, Pop Marge! They're driving Bud away!
Cliff and I had the same problem. You need sunlight. It rinses clean, so it leaves everything this spotless, even in sunlight.
Next day,
Sally, your glasses are beautiful. I'll never stray again.
All right, sister.
Sunlight, powder or liquid, nothing gets glasses more spotless.
So, we asked some of today's leading wine experts to give their opinion on a whole new taste in wine. Lancer's Blush Wine.
Superb color.
Oh, splendid clarity.
Excellent nose.
Lancer's Blush Wine.
Oh, excuse me.
What?
This wine is fruity, light, crisp,
light.
It's pretty.
Ah, pretty.
Pretty.
At last I have found my wine. It's good.
Just good? Lancer's Blush?
Okay, superb.
Ah, superb. Yes.
Many people need to cut down on salt for better health.
Instead of salt, use great-tasting Mrs. Dash with 14 natural herbs and spices. Use Mrs. Dash on every dish for zesty, savory flavor. For better health, instead of salt, try Mrs. Dash.
I was in agony. I hurt all over. The doctor said there was no permanent damage. He gave me a different medicine. It's in these little yellow Nuprin. Got rid of that pain. Know what else? It works great on my tough headaches.
Nuprin. It's not aspirin, not Tylenol. It's ibuprofen.
Two Nuprin stop my headaches better than extra strength Tylenol. And Nuprin's gentler on my stomach than aspirin.
Nuprin. Little, yellow, different, better.
It even worked on my worst pain.
The dentist said no apples, honey.
The forbidden fruit, tinsel teeth.
James?
I knew what Annie needed.
Flaky.
A homemade apple pie. With Crisco's flaky crust, I'd help her forget her braces. Annie, I've got some apples for you.
Thanks, Mom.
Nothing beats the smile that greets your Crisco home cooking.
Sir, Wendy's is offering their delicious quarter-pound single for 99 cents. What do you think?
Sounds like an obvious attempt to get people to come to Wendy's and buy this hamburger.
That's the idea.
Well, it's a darn good one.
Now Wendy's single is 99 cents. Additional purchase may be required.
Surprise.
Here's the tickets for your honeymoon.
Oh, Dad, you shouldn't have.
And we're going with you.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
Northwest frequent flyers earn free trips fast, so you can give them away or go away or both. Cereals let the milk burst through and the crunchy taste stay in.
Jack's the classic crunch.
Here's something new and juicy. Here's something a whole lot of fun. New lifesavers, fruit juicers, candy. Real juice in everyone.
That's new.
With the juice in fruit juicers, candy.
Strawberry.
You take that grow on a tree.
Citrus fruit.
Here's something new.
You better get ready for the most challenging Nintendo system ever.
Ready? Let's do it.
The new Power Pad. It's only available in Nintendo's new power set. Now you're playing with body power. You've got to run, jump, faster, higher. The Nintendo Power Pad puts you in total control. You are the game. You are the power. Now you're playing with power, body power. You get the Power Pad, Control Deck, Zapper, and three games only in Nintendo's exciting new power set.
The game Monopoly is back at McDonald's, bigger and better than ever.
This year, there's more prizes than ever.
It's the LT!
Coca-Cola!
Congratulations!
Hey, collect the right game pieces
and win $2 million! Woo-hoo! There's over $50 million in prizes, including hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations, a Delta Airlines! Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
It's not just big, it's huge!
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
You just said the magic words, now look what you did. And look at the low prices everyone's talking about at Toys R Us. My friend Talking Toby from Coleco plays 8 learning games and comes with a game board voice and a great Toys R Us price. And Coleco's talking teacher with 5 word and number game levels.
That is correct.
Awesome. And my talking computer, a whole fun center for less at Toys R Us.
It's the world's biggest Toys R Us.
Wake up to the hot taste of Kellogg's Pop-Tarts.
So hot, they're cool, so cool, they're hot. Pop-Tarts popping up, they pop up hot. They taste so cool inside, they're hot. There's the real fruit, so hot, hot, hot.
Real fruit fillings give Pop-Tarts an incredible taste. So hot, they're cool.
Who cares about a pickled radish?
Yeah, who does care about a pickled radish? Now I want to talk about MasterChef, guys. Did you see the episode this week where they, it was a 2-hour MasterChef movie.
Oh, good Lord, I didn't see it.
They had to cook, they each had to cook either brains.
No, they did a first one in the...
Well, didn't they do that?
Well, yeah. They, but all 5 of them had a, or the
I'm not necessarily going in order. I'm just saying.
Okay, well, the chick from last time won, and she chose everybody.
Right, so, but I thought it was funny, Elizabeth gave Courtney the testicles, the bull testicles to cook.
Oh, nice.
And she sliced them into nice slices and fried them, and they're like, these are delicious testicles. And I was like, ugh.
Courtney, I want to eat your balls.
But Christian, he got the brains, and he didn't know what to do with those. He tried to make like a... Was it like a linguine?
No, he made. He was trying to make a Parmesan encrusted brain over a bed of spaghetti or linguine.
Yeah, and oh my said, God, the brains are good, but it's just noodles and sauce on it. It's
he
like,
cooked the noodles and threw them in ice for some reason, ice water.
Yeah. So
and then he threw them back in the pan and he put just tomatoes and...
It was just nothing...
And some other herb. Just
it was just so simple looking. They're like, he got eliminated. So Christian's gone, Bill.
Oh, and that's too bad.
Then there's only four left. So it's Courtney, Elizabeth, Leslie, and Kata.
God, oh my God. How is he still there?
So it's boys against girls. And Cutter, in this clip here, he slices his finger. And at first I think he thinks
he cut it.
I just chopped my finger off.
Yeah.
But then they make this, they each had a box of where they're from. Like Cutter, he had Texas. Leslie had California, and they had to pick one. So they picked Texas, and he's like, we're going to make nice beef ribs and stuff like that. So, but what they present to them, Bill, is ribs on a bed of
plain corn.
Corn.
ribs and corn.
And let's just check this out. It's so funny. Because Gordon goes, what did you put on this corn? And just listen to what Cutter says.
Catfish is a trash fish. I mean, it's good, but it's mostly fried. It's just, how do we elevate a fried catfish, you know?
So the Blue Tees box is Texas. They have some well-known proteins. What would you do?
The catfish is something I would stay away from. You got to focus on that beef. It's incredible.
Come on, speed up, guys. Ah, what? Medic. Damn it.
Cutter.
No.
I'm chopping my onion, and I just wasn't paying attention, and the hilt of the knife came down, and I thought I'd cut my damn finger off.
We're here. Don't look down. Look down.
Not as bad as you think. You've taken the nail off, and you're good
you
to go.
You are an idiot, Cutter.
Right now, I'm carrying the team. He's busy with the medics, and I just got to keep moving. Do or die. This is do or die.
I hope
Living
he dies.
To your name.
Let's go. Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah, it's hurt. I ain't gonna lie.
Guys, what the is that? Please describe the dish.
Rack of ribs with a Texas rub and a molasses grapefruit glaze and corn and onion to go with it.
So visually, restaurant quality, it's not. I think of some of the dishes you've plated so far in this competition has been really beautiful. But I've never seen such a depressing corn in all my life. Any citrus in there? Isn't any lemon, lime?
Salt, pepper.
Well, that's great.
Jalapeno, onions.
Hold on, mate. Thank you. No, seriously. Chef, there's salt and pepper in the corn.
Sounds delicious.
You know that's not good.
This is kind of caveman food. You had, what, 50 different ingredients in that box? You guys used ribs and corn. What are you thinking? You had rice, quinoa, peppers. You had the staple pantry. You could have made a biscuit.
I suggested that, but I never got any info back.
Did you say not to make the biscuit?
I never heard a word about any biscuit.
You two are smart, talented individuals. As a couple, lacking harmony beyond belief.
I love how Leslie tries to throw me under the bus. We're not meant to work together, and he's going to do whatever he can to make himself look good and make me look bad.
Being beat by Cutter and Leslie seems like one of the worst things imaginable.
Leslie and Cutter, you know what this means.
I'm just tired of Leslie's Malibu. Oh, man, it's time to go home.
Cutter versus Leslie. Texas versus California. The oil man versus the stay-at-home dad.
Okay, we get it.
It's all right, you can laugh. I can afford to stay home.
Oh, you're such a joke.
You know what? Put it on the plate, mister.
Let's go.
Okay?
Let's go.
I'm ready to rock and roll. Texas versus California. I'm loving this. You know what? It's time to shut up and put up.
Kata! Guess what happens, Bill? Who do you think win?
Leslie.
Kata! He was eliminated. Okay. You know, who did you like least? Leslie or Cutter? I at least thought Cutter
just,
was entertainment value.
But Cutter was just an incompetent.
Oh, it was kind of sad because what did they have to make? I don't remember.
They had to make a
the pressure test.
A risotto with that uni.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough.
For what's his name? The ball headed going.
That bald-headed son
of
a bitch.
Well, Joe.
The Elizabeth and Courtney, they're like, Cutter, do this. And he was like, oh, are you kidding me? They're helping Cutter over there. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to win.
I'm going to stay at home with my money.
And when Cutter gets eliminated, they look so bummed out. And I think they wanted Cutter to go because maybe are they afraid of Leslie maybe a little?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's certainly more competition than Cutter.
Cutter! I know. I'm going to miss Gordon Ramsay saying Cutter! But that was entertaining. We called it a long time ago. Elizabeth and Courtney are going to be the final two.
Yeah.
This next episode, it's definitely, well, or is it the final episode next? Is it going to be another 2-hour one? Leslie will be eliminated.
It'll probably be 2-hour next week. They'll do like they did this week.
Right. I fully expect Elizabeth to, I'm going to ask, should you let baby out so she doesn't ring the bell all night? Go ahead and open it. I put a towel in front of her.
Ring that bell.
I had to towel dry her, Bill.
Oh, it's like a spa night.
So when you towel dry her, what does she think? She thinks it's playtime.
Time
She's
to
like,
play.
Gets super excited.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Hotel Hell. It's a hotel run by three bachelor dudes who like to party. Did you guys see that?
Rose.
They're like, what are they like? They like to give table dances. Table dance? What do you mean? Well, they like to take their shirts off and kind of dance or whatever. Oh dear. So,
dear.
It was like an episode of Kitchen Nightmares. He goes into the walk-in and finds all the rotten food and everything. Mm. And it's funny when he calls him out, the guy who is less, they're all inept, but he's probably the one that's the least inept.
Okay.
He decides, I'm going to go get shit-faced. So he goes and gets drunk in the bar. Then Gordon's like, can I talk to you? He's like, no, I'm going to go clean the walk-in, okay? I'm going to go down there. He's like, you're drunk. It's just so funny. let's check this out. It's awesome.
Have you ever actually stood back and looked at that lamb shank as a dish and it's the most horrendous, the most drabby, disgusting looking lamb shank? Have you given up?
No.
No,
no way, we just started. We're not giving up yet.
You just started?
Yeah.
Have you ever just walked in from outside, checked in, went up to the rooms and...
No.
You've never done that?
Never have.
Have you ever done that?
No, sir.
Have you ever done that?
I have not.
Oh, my God. What have you improved on since you bought it, truthfully?
I make people laugh and smile every day.
Seriously? What have you changed?
Weekends, we serve breakfast all day.
What have you changed, menu-wise?
Menu,
I got 1, 2, 3. Three idiots that haven't changed anything. You don't stay here, you don't eat together, you don't criticize the food. Reception, room, food, and three clueless owners. Owners? My ass. So the walk-in, how often is that fridge cleaned out?
Like twice a week.
Twice a week?
Yes.
Marked? Everything out?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Come with me, all of you.
All right.
Especially the owners.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Really.
Oh wow. The tortillas, there should not be any moldy food.
The moldy tortillas.
When was this made?
Last Saturday. No, I need
three it. Days ago.
Just smell that.
Need to toss it, I know that.
And this. Terrible. You should be ashamed.
Thanks.
Okay, no, it's not okay. What is that?
To be taught black mold.
What's it supposed to be?
Thai chili marinade.
Thai chili marinade. If this is your dream of running a hotel, then how about manning up and look like owners?
We are. This is unacceptable, and it's not going to happen anymore.
Have you checked out? Because you should do the honorable thing. Say to these two,
he has not checked out.
Can you let him talk?
I have not checked out, and obviously I need to pay more attention and do better at my job.
I have
How
not
you
checked
can run a
out.
Business? Do you ever see three CEOs, three general managers, or three executive chefs? Huh? It's like dumber, dumber, and dumbest.
I do want to prove Gordon Ramsay wrong about me being a idiot, dumb and dumber, scoundrel, wanker, whatever British terminology that
wanker has to say across from the different blonde guy. But I do respect him.
And we get a drink.
Brian is coming undone and is drinking on the job. I'm done trying to get through to him today.
I'm upset. That was unacceptable in there.
It's unacceptable.
The walking, okay?
You're drunk. Go home.
All right.
Go home. And then guess what happens? Gordon gets through to them.
Aww.
And
that's really nice. Gold after all.
The drunk guy steps up and he promises, I will not drink on the job anymore. Because basically they were just running the bar area. It was their party place, you know.
I am a worthless hunk of shit.
And the guy would say stuff like, free drinks, man, free shots. And they're like, we're in debt.
Let's do body shots off dudes.
Oh, that cracked me up. I think that was the season finale of Hotel Hell already. So that was it, guys. Uh-oh. Oh, well. Now, I know I'm the only one watching Top Chef Duels, right?
You are.
Yes.
Every week they have. Why did you say it like that? You are. They had a special guest judges, Bill. They had rocker Rob Zombie and rocker. Oh, shit. He was just on Restaurant Startup, Bill, the guy from Anthrax, Scott Ian.
Oh, Scott Ian, yeah.
And a dude from Slayer.
And his chin beard.
Yeah, and his chin beard. So they're all on there, and it's Dale. Remember Dale? He was kind of that one season with Richard Blaze where he kind of was a hothead and we get pissed and kick stuff.
Not really.
You would know him if you saw him and this other chick. They're on there. Okay. So let's hear the challenge because Top Chef's really proud of this challenge. And Curtis is just let's check this out.
You're going to have to rock it out in the kitchen because joining us today are three legendary metal musicians. Metal! Chefs, meet three rock gods. Guitarist Scott Ian from thrash metal band Anthrax. Musician and filmmaker Rob Zombie, and Gary Holt, lead guitarist from Exodus and Slayer. You'll each create a three-course meal that's loud, inventive, decadent, and dark, just like these three legendary musicians. And much like Rob's horror film, this one has a shocking twist. All these dishes must be vegan.
Horror films?
Did you hear that?
Think vegan tastes good.
No.
Oh, they all must be vegan.
You hear vegan, and it's like the record stops, and it's like, really? On the inside, I'm having a heart attack. Rob Zombie's vegan. I am shocked.
Your first course must slay our taste buds.
I expect something heavy, loud, and fast, and spicy.
Nice. Oh, Rob Zombie finds inspiration from horror films.
They just make you embarrassed,
for both his music and his filmmaking. For your second course, you must create an entree using a meat substitute. Think tofu, seitan, or something we haven't even thought of.
Satan!
Much like the murder and mayhem in my films is fake, I would like something that seems as if it's meat, but it's fake.
For your third course, you must create a dessert with a surprise element.
You guys should think outside the box with your dish. Just go for it. Chef.
Skewered asparagus.
Skewered asparagus. We're going to marinate this in a little bit of miso and pastrami spice. Basically do spring salad on a skewer.
Usually people think vegans like, oh, well, just take the meat off the plate and here's some watered down side dish of vegetables and just like a salad.
Tell me, what are you doing to sort of kick this up a notch? What are you
kind of what Rob said. We're trying to make dishes, complete meals.
Kind
my
of
restaurant,
Mr.
we have
Zombie
this way.
Said.
We have at least 4 to 5 vegan, if not vegetarian, dishes on the menu.
Now I remember.
That's
Dale.
A lot. Most places have one.
Yeah. Dale, are you a metal fan?
Not particularly.
He's, as much as he is a vegan fan.
Exactly.
So, he's in hell
like
today.
Coldplay.
Good
cheers,
luck. Guy.
Thank
you're
you.
Metal, right?
Hi.
How are you, Tiffany?
Good, chefs. How are you guys?
Very good. So, Tiffany, I've got a question.
Yeah.
You have a barbecue restaurant.
I know. Yeah.
And this is a vegan challenge.
Right. But we also do have a few vegan dishes.
You do?
We do salads, we do sides, so we make sure that we're... it doesn't matter what you do.
Salads and sides.
Actually, people come to the restaurant for our sides. Yeah, we have a lot of veggies, a lot of vegans.
Like Rob has
yeah,
a chip
it seems
on
like even
shoulder,
no, I haven't eaten meat in so long, but you still feel like you're hardwired to want that texture. Yeah. So what's the plan for that?
So the plan for that is
mushrooms.
These. Yeah, we're gonna hard roast them. They almost look like scallops, like this.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's kind
yeah.
of scallops that'll have more of a meaty texture, almost like a steak.
I forgot that it was a vegan thing. When I looked at it, I said scallops.
If you were blindfolded right now, you would think you were eating meat.
I really loved what Dale did in his ramen dish, actually. I loved the broth. I thought it was really rich and really substantial tasting. The only thing in his dish that turned me off was the center of that tofu.
Now, Rob, this was really your challenge. You wanted this challenge, so who did a better job?
Dale's is exactly why it's hard to convince people that eating vegan food could be a good idea. I mean, the noodles were kind of blah, and then the tofu sat on top of the same flavor of no flavor. And then I almost took his tofu and put it in her sauce, but I figured that's not really why we're here.
That's cold, man.
Cold.
Tiffany's was perfect.
Yeah, Tiffany, it was weird. She kicked Dale's butt in the, you know, they had to make three dishes. The first two, I thought she did really good, but Dale made a really good dessert. He made like this Asian pastry with peanut butter and jelly in it, but they were all like flipping out over it. It was like, man, this is the best PB&J I've ever had. So at the very end, Dale won, and then Tiffany went to the, what do they call it, Bill? The
Last Chance Kitchen?
Yeah, Last Chance Kitchen thing. It's not called that, but it's called something. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It's but the same thing.
Essentially. Mike Isabel is the reigning champ.
Ugh. He's also the reigning douchebag.
Tiffany kicked his ass. So he's gone.
Awesome.
No more Mike Isabella.
Bye.
I think next week is Jen, so you might want to check that one out.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that one.
All right, guys, let's talk about the
show. I like Jen.
Yeah, so do I. Remember, she was on that Life After Top Chef show, which I guess
yes, we'll
never have another season. But it'll be fun watching her on there. She's got a funny personality.
She does.
Would you guys like to talk about The Strain?
Sure, let's talk about
The Strain. I love this show. I get so excited about it when it comes on. Don't you guys?
It's a really fun show. I hate that it moves so fast.
It really does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I had to watch it before coming over here.
Well, it's funny. The previous episode, you know, it was that bottle episode where it's all in one place, pretty much. And this went back to the switching between characters, which I don't mind at all. I thought it was cool having an episode like that. But it's, you know, we finally get to see what Gus is up to in prison. Did you like the prisoner transport, Bill?
Where it was
the
classy.
The thing's going whoosh, and the dude's like, ah, well, like handcuffed.
They first go to him and he's laying there and just got vomit all over his shoulder. So, it's like, ugh.
Well, I love the, what do you guys want to call that? The proboscis or whatever?
I guess that's as good as you can call it.
Well, he shoots it at those guys, but they move out of the way. But then the cop opens the door and the window, and he goes, "Hey, keep it down!" And he's like, whoosh, like it's like, ah, like, goes right through it. The guy picked the worst possible time to open that window.
Yeah, that didn't work well.
And then the van crashes, and Gus gets loose and shoots his friend. Don't you love that he doesn't free the other guys? He just unlocks and runs away.
Just tosses the
it's
key.
It's like, screw you guys, I'm out of here.
Here's the keys. See you later.
I love that the lady's dropping this kid off at night where she doesn't know if anybody's home, but she drops. Who is this lady, by the way? She's like, tell your mom to call me sometime, all right? And she's like, yeah, get out of here, kid. And then there's no lights on in the house. It's completely pitch black. She can't get a hold of his mom on the phone, but she drops him off, so he walks in. And then there's the boyfriend. He's like, and he's like, ah, oh, gosh, what's wrong with you? And he's like, whoosh. And he's like, ah! But luckily, Ephraim and the gang in the Scooby van, Bill, they pull up. Just in time.
That is his Scooby van.
You know, one thing that I think is funny is that he kills the boyfriend in front of his son with a shovel and then uses the shovel to sever his head. And then he's like, I want you to take my son out of here because I don't want him to,
see this.
I don't want him to see me burn the body. It's like, he just saw you behead him.
Yeah, I think the burning is not the problem.
It's like, Dad, the burning's tame. I saw you chop his head off.
With a shovel.
Oh, man.
You
so
put
funny.
It down there and then you use your foot to push it on through.
There's a part later on where, as they're going back to Abraham's, first they let the hacker girl, they're going to drop her off at home, but the Fett, he's like, I'm going to walk you up there first. We're not going to just let you out. So he goes up there and she finds out her roommate stole her computer and all of her money. So she can't.
It was more than a roommate.
More than a roommate.
It was her girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Well, funny thing is she's all upset and everything, and all of a sudden her neighbor comes in like, and she goes, oh, not right now. He's such a pothead. He doesn't know where he's at. And he's like,
it's I like, want to suck your blood.
You can. How do you not notice that he's one of the Strigoi right away? And I love like Vasily, he finds that little pickaxe thing, whatever it is, and he's holding it the whole time, and then he uses it to kill, and he goes, this thing's pretty handy. I thought that was funny.
It's like a rock hammer.
Rock hammer, yeah.
Well, there's also a flashback to when Abraham encountered the master. And this is the first time we've heard him talk, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's got that little... Now, in hindsight, that knife is pretty flimsy. I don't know what he was thinking. Like, you see how fast the thing goes... Like comes and goes super fast.
You're going to grab anything thinking if you can protect yourself, you might get lucky with it.
Yeah, but that thing, the way he whips around and everything, and all he cuts his finger to lure him over there, and he has a conversation with him, and obviously he knows who he is because he calls him Woodcarver.
Thanks for the box, bitch.
Crushes his fingers.
Oh.
Why do you think he didn't kill him, though? I
don't know. Maybe there's some sort of connection because he made the box. I don't know.
Is he entertained by him?
By crushing his fingers, he'll never be able to make another box.
And then
I was wondering if for some reason he made the box, he's the only one who can destroy it, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe, well,
you know, thinking that.
The next day, though, Eichhorst sees what happens to his hands and he pushes him into the line of people who are going to be killed. And then luckily, right then, I guess Americans show up, which is great. But also there's the scene where they're waiting on Fett and the girl Dutch. And so Abraham has a little talk with Ephraim's son, whose name, what is his name? Tommy?
Zach.
You know what, Zach? You know
Tommy,
what
Zach.
I forgot Zach. To notice, guys. And I don't know if you guys noticed it, but I went, oh, no, when it happened. Do you know what it is, Bill?
No.
Zach pulls out an asthma inhaler.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
TV
oh,
asthma.
No.
Why do they always give kids asthma on shows?
I guess
a record-breaking number of children do have asthma. Emma has asthma, but she never has to, like, I don't know.
At inappropriate times.
I just thought that was funny. Maybe around vampires, you would use it a lot.
I really need a breathing treatment.
All right, let's check this out. First, with the master.
Watched me for how many nights? Eyes open wide, thinking I can't see you. After all this time, is this the best you could do to try to stop me?
Oh, God, please help me.
Is it a butter knife?
Where is he? Where is your God? I don't see him. There is no one to help you, Woodcarver.
Yikes.
What's the matter?
My mother's going to be upset about her boyfriend, Matt, being dead.
Yeah, she might get upset.
I know you'll find this hard to believe, but Matt came after you because he loved you.
Why did you call him a vampire?
That's what he expressed.
Because that's what he turned into.
My dad didn't use that word.
He will. Trust me. There's power in naming things.
He was so mad at me.
No. He was hungry. Like a rabid animal. No different. Beloved dogs turn on you after they've been bitten by a fox or a bat or any infected animal.
Yeah,
think
that's
of it
cool
as
yeller.
Rabies being passed from human to human. Mourn Matt's passing, then move on. life will insist. You mustn't fail life.
Wow, deep shit. You know, he took more time to talk to Zach than Ephraim did, didn't he?
Yeah. I think Zach's a little more accepting than Ephraim. Ephraim's just kind of a tool.
He's kind of a denier still. And what was with the weird scene where him and Nora have sex on his wife's bedroom floor? And
that was kind of out of nowhere.
And then it's almost like they just needed to do it or something.
We need to show me and Maestro's jiggly butt.
And then, Bill, why the lady's like, hey, what are y'all doing in my friend's room? I'm calling the cops or whatever. It's like, what show is this lady from? When is she going to die?
She's a reject off The Sopranos. She's just been stuck in limbo for
lady
years.
That wants to get drunk all the time.
Right. And I'm guessing we're going to find out what happens. I honestly don't care that much about Ephraim's wife, but I don't want Zach to go without a mom. So we need him to, they need to find her.
Well, someone has to pay for his breathing treatment.
Well, another thing is Gus, now that he's escaped, you do realize they want to know where the master sleeps. Gus knows where he delivered the box.
Nah.
So he's got to somehow find our friends or whatever.
I believe so. Maybe at a mini mart.
I love moments where Vasily Fett is asking Abraham about his weapons. And I just want a scene where he loads him up with weapons. All right, here, take this sword and then this here. I just want a scene like that. Can I please get that on the show? Because I like the idea that they're kind of kindred spirits in a way, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
both hunters of a sort.
Yes. I can't wait till they're where he goes, we must prepare for our next battle. And I'm like, yes, I can't wait.
Bring it.
Oh, man. I have so much fun watching the show. And now Heather's watching it with me. But she hasn't seen the beginning episodes. I was like, oh, they'll do a marathon and we'll watch them again or whatever when it happens. But she's really watching it now where the story's really picking up.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You know? She'll know who everybody is, and then be able to go back and watch the beginning episodes. But the show's a lot of fun. I enjoy it very much.
Yeah, it's good.
And, what about the very end scene with Ike Horst when he's like, you have forsaken me. And all of a sudden the master reveals himself. We get to see what he looks like.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping they wouldn't do that.
I liked when they showed a glowing red eyes, and that's all they really needed to show us, isn't it? Because that was like, holy shit.
Then it was like even more frightening instead of like Curly Joe Dorita, who was green. Like it just didn't look like, it didn't look scary. It looked more comical.
One thing that I wonder is like when the master cuts his arm open and a worm comes out, are the ones that come for him, do they make you
stronger?
Or they make you like him. That's why Ike Horst looks more like him.
And he doesn't have a nose, you know, Ike Horst doesn't.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Because remember that they've gone out of their way to show the master, whoever he's drinking, he snaps their neck and kills them. He doesn't, like, let them turn. Did you notice that? Like, even the very first episode,
he smashes his brain.
He just goes, mashes his head. It's such a fun show, though. I can't wait to see more.
Yeah.
So, you guys ready to do some news?
Let's do it.
You ready, Bill?
Yeah, let me pull it up.
All right, let's do the news!
JP!
Yes, Chef.
Just pathetic! JR!
Yes, sir.
Just ridiculous!
Gordon is so clever, isn't he?
He really pulls those out of nowhere.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, I thought this was funny. There are roughly 914 reasons why grandparents shouldn't have Facebook accounts. But the latest example is more hilarious than infuriating. as gloriously compiled by the Tumblr account Love Grandpa and Grandma Master Flash. Or Grandma, Grandmaster Flash, sorry. A lot of grandmas have been accidentally tagging that hip-hop pioneer in their Facebook statuses via the autofill feature. check out some of this evidence. Ida Fangione McNamara, happy birthday to my youngest granddaughter. Love you, Grandmaster Flash. Miller. Hey girls, we can't get there till about noon. See you soon, Mom, Grandmaster Flash. now that the Tumblr account has gone viral, the 56-year-old Grandmaster has been made hip to the trend and even weighed in on the hilarity. It's true, I get a lot of posts from grandmas. You. Hilarious, now I know why. Respect Grandma and Grandpa. P.S. This is hip-hop.
I love it.
Yeah, that's...
Perhaps I should let you encounter kittens and grandmas so as not to upset you.
Really frustrating where I'll try to tag, or I'll just be typing a name or something, and the auto complete comes up and tags someone that I don't mean to tag.
Yeah, that's happened to me, and I'm like, why is this person being included in this? I don't understand.
Just stop.
And I'll just go, ugh, and I just delete it and forget. Just forget it.
Yeah, just forget it. Yeah, it's not worth fighting the autofill feature.
Hello.
Hi. Winder, Georgia, Barrow County Sheriff's officials say a woman has been arrested after packaged methamphetamines were delivered to an apartment in Winder. Sheriff spokesman Lieutenant Matt Guthis says deputies in Winder police executed a search warrant at an apartment Tuesday and found more than 569 grams of packaged crystal meth.
Meth heads.
They say the street value of the drug was about $62,000.
Whoa, dude.
Authorities were notified of a suspicious package being shipped to the apartment from Mexico. It's not exactly the smartest thing to just ship your 569 grams of meth via the postal service. I think they have things that catch that. I'm looking up what... What is grams to pounds? I want to see what this is. 59 grams to pounds. Okay, so it's 1.25 pounds. That's really not that much. But it is what it is. Just don't ship your drugs through the mail, people. It's that simple.
Touch that!
there's some strange... Calvin and Hobbes news here. They've caused $1,850.55 of damage per year.
This is unacceptable, and it's not going to happen anymore.
According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, raising a child from the start to age 17 costs those in middle-income groups anywhere from $226,800 to $264,600. That includes housing, food, transportation, clothing, healthcare, education, and miscellaneous items. Perhaps no other child has caused more damage than Calvin of the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes by Mill Watterson. Calvin is a 6-year-old boy, probably from Chagrin Falls, Ohio, with a stuffed tiger named Hobbes. He has an extraordinary active imagination. His life was chronicled in the comic strip for years, so they went through a 4-volume set containing every published comic strip in chronological order and went through each one to figure out how much damage he did. Someone has a lot of time on their hands.
Wow, what is this? Was this a government... money they use to study this.
It's this Proceedings of the Natural Institute of Science. Like, that's what they did in this, in the latest, I guess you would call it journal. And I mean, there's instances of water damage. And then they separate it by month. What months is he the most, destructive in? And wow. As you're going through it, you're just kind of blown away that somebody actually sat down and decided to do this. Somebody will read this. Somebody will find this really entertaining.
Yeah. What a waste of time.
Here's some cool news. A lot of people complain that HBO Go is only available if you subscribe to HBO.
You seem to have a lot of free time.
And I never really had a problem with that. It was kind of a benefit of subscription.
Right, right.
But they're getting enough people now complaining that Time Warner is warming to the idea of selling the standalone subscriptions to HBO. So kind of like only Netflix, you know, online instead
like
of getting
HBO
discs.
HBO Netflix where it's just HBO shows.
Yeah.
HBO Go but without having it on cable. Yeah.
And it makes sense. They really should offer it at this point because so many people want to watch their shows that I give people my HBO Go login that can't, you know, that don't have cable or want to watch something. And just like, well, here, you know, just take this and use it. Have fun because I don't use it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're honestly considering that now. They said that since the broadband opportunity is getting quite a bit larger, customers are willing to pay for their internet and then a handful of cable channels. So I think that's a very good idea. They're moving with the times as long as you have broadband available. But that's a whole nother thing that we actually covered earlier in the show.
Yeah.
Moving on. The combination of the blob and El Nino may produce the warmest autumn in years, according to the National Weather Service.
The blob?
The blob. It's this warm water over the Northeast Pacific that they just call the blob. And it's developing an El Nino. Which we've had a pretty warm summer, so I was kind of hoping that we'd have a nice autumn. But watch out, people! It's time for the El Nino again.
Oh no!
Oh yeah! What is El Nino and
La Nina?
El Nina? I don't even know what the hell the difference is.
Now, time for the weather.
Yeah,
one summer, one's winter, I believe.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. This is really strange. Neil Young and Daryl Hannah have been dating for months.
Ugh.
Just want to throw that out there.
Neil Young?
Ruminate on that for a bit.
Jesus, how old is Neil Young?
And he's got to be in his early 70s.
He's definitely not young anymore.
Well, no, he's not.
And Jason's a disturbed young man.
Yes, he is.
Hey, what? How did I get into this?
A lot of people are going to be very upset with Olive Garden.
Oh, no.
I mean, when you go to Olive Garden, what is it that you're most excited about?
Oh,
the breadsticks.
The delicious, delicious Italian cuisine.
Oh.
Oh, well, I'm the only one, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe there's such a thing as too many breadsticks.
Huh?
And a nearly 300-page essay on what's wrong with Olive Garden and its management. Investor Starboard Value suggests that the Italian restaurant chain is being reckless with its unlimited breadsticks. The hedge fund notes that the chain's official policy is to bring out one breadstick per customer at a time, plus an extra for the table. But it says that after just 7 minutes, the breadsticks can deteriorate in quality. So they just continue to bring them, you know, because once they cool, you bring them.
The sticks.
Well, that's just too many. And this hedge fund is suggesting that they cut back on their breadsticks because Olive Garden only gets 8% of its sales from alcohol, while most Italian restaurants get more than twice that. And the breadsticks seem to bring more people in, but they aren't paying a high enough price. You know, they
garlic
come with the meal.
Food.
So it's just not wise. And it looks like this annual meeting is scheduled for October 10th, where shareholders will get a vote on who gets to control the board of directors, and it's possible that with a change, there goes your unlimited breadsticks, people.
Oh, no.
I know. And then, but you know what? If that happens, people will stop going to Olive Garden.
Yeah, I think some people go for the salad and breadsticks only.
Yeah. I know that whenever I could eat that stuff, you just get that salad doused in that like that Italian dressing they have, and then you use the breadstick to sop it up.
And it's your crap is my bread and butter.
That was really good.
Mm.
And finally in the news, a man who should definitely not be pursuing a criminal career had a rough summer after he not only allegedly tried to sell cocaine to an undercover cop, but also tried to rip the cop off by handing him a bag full of crushed up Pop-Tarts.
Nice!
Cameron Mitchell was reportedly making deliveries when the undercover cop approached him and asked him for some crack cocaine. Officer says Mitchell obliged, went to the cab of his truck, crushed up some Pop-Tarts, and demanded $20. The cop field tested the bag and quickly discovered it wasn't an actual drug deal, but although the officer couldn't smoke Mitchell's sugary rocks, he did have another way to get it back at him. The 30-year-old who said he sold his breakfast to the undercover cop because he needed the money has been charged with creating and selling a counterfeit controlled substance.
Police caught his ass.
Hey, how can you do that?
He didn't create it.
That's a thing.
Kellogg's Pop-Tart did.
If Pop-Tarts isn't illegal, how?
It's a thing. I guess you can't, like, pose as a drug dealer.
What is Pop-Tarts?
I know. I don't get it. I'm sorry. It's the laws of this country are screwed up.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, if somebody asks for drugs, don't be like, hey, I got some drugs right here.
Don't even give them fake drugs.
No. Don't give them Pop-Tarts, especially.
Idiot. Dumb and dumber, scoundrel, wanker, whatever British terminology that wanker has to say, across from the different bomb guy.
Okay.
I like the build-up tension in that.
Yeah.
And that's news for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week.
I looked it up. Neil Young is 68. Daryl Hannah, 53.
Oh, that's not that bad.
But he looks like the Crypt Keeper, doesn't he?
He does.
He doesn't look much better.
Wow, okay.
I thought Daryl Hannah was younger.
Idiot.
No, I just thought she was younger.
Three idiots.
Stop calling me an idiot, it's not nice.
Well, it's just because we feel idiot. So young, it didn't...
Dumb and dumber.
Her being in movies doesn't seem like it was that long ago, Bill.
I just remember as a kid seeing her in, like, Splash and just being like, whoa.
Well, she was most recent, I know it's a while ago, but Kill Bill...
She still looked good, even with one eye.
She looks better than Neil Young.
Hell yeah.
The picture I just saw in there, no.
Well, come on. The internet.
I guess she ran headlong into a tree.
They find pictures without makeup and stuff. I'm sure she could be very presentable.
What about Neil Young?
Oh, he's a train wreck.
But he's always looked like that, hasn't he?
Yes. What about Neil Young?
Oh, God, it is.
All right, Bill, would you like to do the DVDs?
Yes.
Let's do it!
Thank you, generous host!
What? Let's do it!
Ow! Let's do some DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
Seriously?
Seriously?
Yes. All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right, DVDs, physical media, Blu-ray, HD.
Yeah.
No, there is no HD DVD.
I make people laugh and smile every day.
That's sad. Starting for September 16th, 2014, we have Arrow, the complete second season on Blu-ray.
All right, Arrow!
Never watched it.
I need to catch up on it because I'm way behind.
I saw the first season, I think that's it.
I saw the second season was a lot better. Sometimes I watched it like out of order because I was just like, well, let me watch it. But it got more action in the second one. Cause honestly, in the first season, like while I liked it and I liked the premise, there would be scenes where the two characters standing there talking and be like, dude, I'm getting sleepy. Can they just get back to the
Can we fight?
Action and just like something?
Dude, why are you so brooding?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. Especially when it's a comic book show. Step it up. Be a little Smallville, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, get a sponsor.
Yeah.
An episode with some Stride gum.
I thought I made myself clear. You were never use violence if you were in danger.
That is the true arrow right there. Justin Hartley.
I know. He had the best line delivery ever.
And he got better and kind of like he was the most enjoyable part of the show because he delivered these ridiculous lines in such a deadpan manner.
Yeah. The girl in The Machine is in Arrow and she plays the Black Canary, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And she's great.
Oh! She's still alive. Was that Huntress Hex?
Yes.
All right, next we have the 1978 disaster film Avalanche.
Oh, my God.
With Rock Hudson, Mia Farrow, Robert Forster. I think I saw this on cable when I was a kid.
They better deliver with that avalanche or it's going to rip off.
Well, it crashes into their into the ski resort.
Come up in here, piss on my dick, tell me it's raining.
No, it's an avalanche.
Oh.
Not a monsoon. right next we have The Big Bang Theory, complete seventh season. Don't care, won't watch it, can't stand it.
Who cares about a pickle radish?
Can I just say one thing? Why does that dude keep winning Emmys every year?
I don't know. I hate that show. I had a friend who was like, oh, you really got to stick with it. It gets really funny. No, it isn't funny. It's awful.
It's like Tony Shalhoub playing Monk. They do the same thing over and over again. Why do they keep getting that award? Okay, if you were to say, well, Jason, what about Bryan Cranston for that show called
Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Big Baby Breaking.
Because he's incredible and his character changes over time, but it's comedy. I don't understand. Screw it, the Emmys. I don't know why I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't get why people always like famous people of nerd culture go on there. Like
Emmy worthy.
I feel that show is kind of insulting to nerd culture.
Where's your god?
Oh.
Yikes. Okay.
Never mind. Next we have Burt's Buzz. This is that documentary about the Burt's Bees guy.
Oh, yeah. The guy who makes the lip stuff, basically.
Well, he doesn't really anymore. He just kind of lives in a tiny house in Vermont or something.
Looks like he stepped off the set of a Burt Reynolds movie.
They truck him out every once in a while whenever they need promotion.
Yeah, I remember you posted a picture on Facebook, and I go, it looks like a corpse.
He does.
Sitting on a bench.
I think they actually wheel him around on one of those, like, Hannibal Lecter hand carts.
The one thing that's funny is you couldn't find a more unattractive spokesperson, but it's successful. You know what I mean?
They make good products. I kind of like them. But he has nothing to do with them anymore. I guess there's some drama with, like, he was a co-founder and then the guy sold the company out from under him or something.
Get away from me, you're wet.
Ew.
You took too long. Now your candy's gone. Huh? That's what happened.
Okay. Next we have probably the most important Blu-ray release of the week.
Okay.
Congo.
Congo, yes.
That's with Amy, the fake monkey.
Tickle, Amy. Oh my God, could you? Wow.
We saw that in the theater.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, I saw it too.
I remember I was excited. Oh, cool. Bruce Campbell's in that. Is he after the first minute of the movie?
Hey, but Joe Don Baker's in it. Mitchell.
Yes. Oh, wow. That movie. Oh, remember Tim Curry? He's like, the lost city of Zinj. He's talking about that. What a hunk of shit. Seriously.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this movie is so bad. Frank Marshall, the director.
Frank Marshall doing Congo. And I remember just, I don't know, when the hippopotamus attack when they're in the rafts.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What could attack them while they're in the river? Hippos? They're mean. Yeah. Let's get some hippos in this scene.
They eat people all the time.
My ass.
And then you have those crazy apes, you know?
Oh, the silverbacks?
Gang raped by a gaggle of silverback apes.
That happens to Amy.
Oh, Amy, no, Bill, don't say that.
Well, I'll go ape shit on your ass.
Tickle Amy. And the worst part about the whole movie, it's people in ape suits.
Yeah.
Wow.
It looks awful. It's awful.
Wow.
I mean, even in 1995, it looked awful.
It did.
Seriously?
I even thought the movie was filmed on bad stock or something. It just
it
looks
had to
like
be. It
shit.
Was, they're just like, well, what do we have? Well, we got this shit we haven't used in 30 years. I'll take it.
My favorite part, though, is when they finally get that goddamn laser working because they need the diamonds. And Laura, what's that actress's name?
Laura Linney.
Laura Linney, she goes, and she's like slicing the apes in half. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm getting
now we're getting somewhere.
She's like cutting apes in half with lasers. That shit is awesome.
Take that, you evil ape bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that's it.
That's the way the laser. Pew, 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 pew. Get those monkeys. Whee. Oh, that sounds better.
From Star Wars?
It's an ion cannon!
Yeah.
I guess the ion, it disrupts the ships, right?
It does. It shuts the repulsors down.
Oh, man, it really messes them up.
Yeah, it does.
They just,
you don't want to get hit with an ion cannon.
They basically just float after that.
Yeah, then
like,
you're
oh,
dead.
Shit.
You're in dead space.
Nice.
All right, next we have on Criterion Blu-ray, Eraserhead.
Yikes. Oh, my God. I remember my dad, like, you kids, come in here, you kids.
No.
You guys got to see this movie. It's called Eraserhead.
Let's
he
see
didn't.
If we can disturb you.
There's this part with this baby you need to see.
Oh, no.
Okay, Dad, I'll go come watch with you after Sesame Street's over.
So I go and I'm sitting there watching it. I've never been the same since, you guys.
That is a warping movie.
Same.
That's like when my dad showed me that Jason Robards TV movie the day after. And he's like, this is the nuclear bomb. This is what happens.
You know? Are you still angry I called you insane?
No. It's
yeah,
crazy.
And of course this is loaded with extras. It's
that would
created.
Be like me saying, Emma, come here. I have the movie I want you to watch. It's called Eraserhead. Oh, okay. He's got like an eraser of her head. Something like that. It's by a very funny director. His name is David Lynch. Oh, okay. My dad should be locked up, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
It's a hyenas.
I know. It's crazy.
So this was a, they created a new digital transfer from 4K for 4K resolution. I mean, it looks amazing from the original camera negative.
Eraserhead looks incredible.
Yeah, I mean, come on, this is that like 4K black and white restored top of the line, thousands of instances of dirt, debris, scratches, splices, jitter, blah 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 blah, all removed. It looks stunning. But I, you know, stunningly disturbing.
Please, nobody watch it.
next, watch we it. Have
stunning.
Yes, stunning. The Fault in Our Stars.
The Fault in Our Stars. Is it
yes.
that they eventually burn out, Bill? Is that
no, well, sort of. Yeah, this is about it's about cancer teens.
Oh,
Star Trek.
Very uplifting.
Yeah, and of course, it's like I can predict right now, having never seen it, read it, one of them dies.
No!
And it's probably not the one you expect.
Oh, there it just happened, Bill.
Yep, it's what happens. You never expect it.
Can't they get, like, chemo or something?
Well, sometimes that works, and sometimes you just drop dead. Like that.
Oh my God.
And of course, because this is one of those, let's market it to the preteen, young adult, book fan people. Let's do a million different exclusive editions.
The chemo edition.
The chemo edition, yes. The drop dead edition. Wow. The he's too young to die edition.
The holistic version.
The you're screwed edition. So we've got the Target exclusive with the collectible movie banner, because what's better than being reminded of a film in which someone dies of cancer? And then we have the Little Infinities
sounds like so much
edition.
Fun.
Yeah, with the Infinity Bracelet.
And
then there's a Walmart exclusive edition, but it doesn't list what you get. I think the exclusive is that you actually went to Walmart to buy a Blu-ray. And you die.
Oh.
Next we have the Ghostbusters 1 and 2 30th and 25th anniversary editions mastered in 4K, because if anybody needed to see Ghostbusters 2 again, it needs to be in 4K.
That makes good financial sense. Good advice.
No, okay. Lewis thinks that's a good idea, Bill.
You know what? Everybody I might even play pick up the bundle of both of them. You might as well.
Yeah. Your love is lifting me higher.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. They called the Ghostbusters and they're in control.
I didn't even mention the part at the end where the painting becomes a painting of the Ghostbusters no reason explained. I guess the goo painted them, right?
Well, it's because they destroyed Vigo, and somebody had to be put back in the painting.
But so the goo painted the Ghostbusters like babies, cherubs?
Yes, because the goo is essentially good. It's good goo. It wants to be happy. It dances in toasters.
Okay, who brought the dog?
Oh, okay. Okay, well, if you explained it to me, so I got it.
Yeah, it's really wonderful goo. Next we have Godzilla on Blu-ray.
All right, Godzilla starring Bryan Cranston. He's in the whole movie, you guys.
The entire movie until about 40 minutes in. Jesus, Godzilla.
He's in the movie about the length of that Godzilla roar.
Yeah, but he's fantastic in it.
What's funny is I noticed the commercials for the Blu-ray. It shows Godzilla, and then it shows Bryan Cranston looking like he's looking at Godzilla. Oh. He never even gets to see Godzilla.
No, he doesn't. He sees one of the Mudos.
Idiot. Dumb and dumber. Scoundrel. Wanker. Whatever British terminology that wanker has to say.
What is this guy talking about?
He's just angry.
I did enjoy Godzilla, though.
So did
fun.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I didn't have any complaints at all.
What about you, Steven? You saw it, too.
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was fun.
Gave me everything I wanted.
Yeah.
And those, of course, I would always take more Godzilla fights, but what we did see of the fights were freaking awesome.
There's one part, the awesomest part in the movie, and you guys know what it is. They give it away now in the Blu-ray trailer, which I think sucks.
They do?
Yeah.
That's terrible. What's the awesome part?
Where Godzilla's certain ability reveals itself.
Oh, yes.
And everyone's like, woo! In the theater when it happens. But now you know what happens if you see the commercial.
That gave me chills when I saw it. I was just like, oh, that's incredible!
It was like, yeah, awesome!
Yeah, so I'll pick up the Godzilla 3D Blu-ray DVD Ultraviolet.
It's an awesome movie.
What I hate is that whenever they have these really cool steel cases, the they call them metal packs for some reason now, they never include the 3D Blu-ray in it.
Well, I want like a rust-resistant one, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to be rust-resistant. You never know what might happen.
In fact, Destiny came in a tin.
It did come with a tin, in a tin, and the disc is still on the wrong side.
I'm feeling like a slut now.
Yeah,
don't be
too.
That.
I'm a total slut for tins.
Yeah, me too. I love a good tin. Next, we have Grimm Season 3, because apparently that's still on the air.
Yep. Grimm.
Next, we have Hannibal Season 2 on Blu-ray, which I will be purchasing.
Okay, guys, don't get mad at me. I got 4 episodes to watch of the last
of Season 2?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man, those are good episodes.
Are you some form of Hell's Kitchen Hannibal Lecter?
No. I will catch up, guys. I'm very sorry. And
it's going to start. I'm still angry.
I called you insane.
Yeah, and they just upped Gillian Anderson to full cast member.
Wow. She keeps starring in other shows that get canceled.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, you know what? I think I'm going to stick with Hannibal. I mean,
I'll be seeing her and Ben Foster on Tuesday in, oh, shit.
So what I'm experiencing is psychological.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm blanking on this. It's one of those Fathom events that they're doing the NT Theater live. Give me a second. Streetcar Named Desire. Sorry.
Oh, wow. Who does Ben Foster play in that?
He plays the, oh God, why am I blanking on names? It's late in the show.
It's okay.
Effer. Though. Mother Effer.
Does he play the Marlon Stanley? Brando part?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Stanley.
Yeah. Stanley.
Stanley! Stella!
Thank you, Stephen.
You're welcome.
Oh, I'm such an idiot. Yeah, it's getting late.
I was racking my brain too, Bill. Sorry.
All right. Yeah, and I believe that she plays Blanche.
Blanche
Dubois.
Blanche Dubois. Thank you. Perfect. Next Blu-ray is Juan of the Dead.
Juan of the Dead.
Yeah, this is the crazy Cuban zombie film that's. I've actually heard good things about it.
Are you Mexican?
It's Juan de los Muertes. We will kill your loved ones. But I mean, I heard that it's fun. I'll rent it, online or whatever. I won't buy it. Just letting everybody know it's out there.
Very nice of you, Bill. Thank you.
Yes, no problem. Next, we have the Nutty Professor 50th Anniversary Blu-ray.
Oh, I love the Crumps.
No, this is the Jerry Lewis Nutty Professor. Oh. I don't think the Clumps is 50 years old.
It just feels like it.
Yeah, it feels like it while you're watching them. Hercules, Hercules.
Hercules, Hercules.
Oh, my God. The first one, that was my dad's favorite movie.
Come on, Dagmar! Sorry.
Just for the fart scene, where they're all sitting around the kitchen table farting, that's like high comedy for my dad. He thinks it's the greatest thing ever.
I enjoyed it, and I'll even say it, Norbit, not that bad.
Norbit, like, annoys me because I feel so bad for Norbit.
Norbit gets treated horribly. But when Eddie Murphy's dressed up as that big fat lady going down the water slide, comic hilarity ensues.
It's not a bad movie.
It's funny, man.
It is funny. It's stupid funny.
What the f*** is that?
Sorry.
And now I'm trying to think what the hell the name of the character was, because it was a great name for her, too.
I don't remember. Norbit!
I can't remember anything tonight. Alright, moving on, we have Silent Night, Deadly Night on Blu-ray, the 30th Anniversary Edition.
It's not funny!
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah, isn't this the, no, I'm thinking of Black Christmas.
Oh, I thought it was about farts.
No, it's not, but it should be.
Uh-oh, fart.
Did you fart, Raymond?
All right.
And next we have Sleepy Hollow, complete first season on Blu-ray.
Oh, excellent. Okay, guys, I have about 7 episodes of that
left. Rasputia.
Rasputia. Perfect.
Oh,
thank
nice.
You.
Baby's All Wet, by the way.
You still have episodes of Sleepy Hollow? The ending was so much fun.
I never finished it. I'm sorry, guys.
You're a terrible human being.
I know. I feel so hollow inside. Did you guys get that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you kind of tired?
No. Nope.
Tired and hollow?
No. Nope. Okay.
Oh, Steven's tired, yeah.
He's always tired.
Tired and hollow.
Next we have Spartacus the Complete...
Whoa. I fell asleep, sorry.
And yet you're talking in your sleep.
Spartacus?
Spartacus the Complete Series on Blu-ray, because why not repackage them all over again into one big box?
We must celebrate!
Nice. You know, I never
finished it.
I never watched the final season of Spartacus. Did you,
yeah.
Steven?
No.
I never finished it.
I didn't get past, what was it, Gods of the Arena? The prequel?
Yeah, you did. We covered it on the show.
No, I watched it, but I mean, like, past that, when Liam McIntyre took over for Andy Whitfield, I just stopped watching.
You watched that final season that he was on there. Don't you remember how it ends? We talked about it on the show.
Did we?
Yeah, you did.
Maybe
watch
it's just
season.
Not memorable for me.
No, dude, it was an incredible season, and the finale was just unbelievable. That's why I can't believe I never watched the final season, but I will eventually.
Oh, dude, yeah, I did watch that.
Don't you remember what happens
because
to Glomber?
Because they were like in the woods and stuff.
Remember they're stuck on top of the mountain, and they have to scale down the back, and then, you know, you have Gannicus, you have Spartacus, and Crixus. And, what's the black guy's name? They're all fighting together. It was so awesome.
That was good. Okay. I remember that now. I should watch the final season. I think I even complained when we were covering it that
it's hard to separate Andy
Whitfield.
In fact, Sci-Fi, I don't know how they're doing it, but they're showing Spartacus Blood and Sand on Sci-Fi.
Right.
And it was coming on.
Lots of blurs.
It was coming on after, Defiance, and I would see Andy Whitfield and my heart would sink and I would get really sad.
Yeah, I follow the documentary that, he and Vashti made, that Be Here Now, that they had they were followed by cameras and they're actually finishing it up right now. They're doing the color correcting and all that. And, his wife posted a 3 years out video, and it's like it's excruciating to watch because she has the picture of him behind her and she's just talking about how difficult it is for them to move on with their lives and how their children are just kind of coming to the realization that their dad is gone. They've now gotten to that age.
Jeez, man, that's gonna be
sad. It's that documentary is gonna destroy me. Yeah. I know I want to watch it, but it's going to kill me. I don't know. It's so strange to have such an attachment to an actor, mm-hmm. but he just sold that show so well.
Yeah.
And he just seemed like such a great guy.
The way that season ended, that first season, they're like, oh, I can't wait till the next season. And then he passed away and it's just like, wow.
Yeah. If you remember, he did that, video for that guy that mm-hmm. ended up doing that, video game High School.
The Wong guy.
Yeah, they did that cool shootout video, and in like the making of, he was talking about how he just got cleared and he was headed back to New Zealand to start the second season. Mm-hmm. And we were all so excited. And then he gets there and they do the second test and it's back. And it wasn't long after that that he passed away.
Not at all.
Yeah, that was rough. Okay, moving on to something that's also really rough. Texas Chainsaw Massacre Blu-ray 40th Anniversary Edition.
All right, woohoo!
Yeah, not one of my favorite movies.
Why not?
I'm just not a slasher.
No, it's one of those movies. I don't know if it's movies that are horror movies with faded color.
Yeah.
They especially make me queasy or something. It's like if the color, it's just old and faded. It makes it creepier to me.
Yeah, it looks, I don't want to say, more realistic, I guess, in
just
a sense.
Just something about it.
Just pathetic!
Hey. Yeah, and it's just so brutal and gross. There's just something about those early 70s horror films.
I don't want to see anybody get killed with a chainsaw.
I'll pass. And that
Steven
is DVDs
does,
for this
you
week.
Sick bastard, Steven. What? What did you just say?
I said, I've seen it a time or two.
You needed to see it more than once?
What did you think after you saw it?
This is my utopia.
Wow, you really
I
like
want
it.
To kill hillbillies.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
Thank you, generous host!
you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Something to communicate to all of you.
That's wonderful.
All right, everyone. That was episode 303 of Entertainment Landfill. Thank you all for listening. I very much appreciate it. And as do Stephen and Bill. I'm speaking for them.
Yes.
You're
allowed.
I'd like to thank Adam Sexton for being on the show. That was really cool to talk to him. And I
hope he has a good birthday tomorrow.
Yes, happy birthday, and for your birthday wish, I told him I'd play this for him. Yeah, Charlie Sexton.
So lonely. Wonder he's lonely.
What's funny about this song is that when I knew Steven, we worked in the frame shop.
And I have the CD.
Wasn't it a cassette?
I had the cassette. Yeah.
And Steven's cassette player was this Charlie Sexton album.
Oh, my God.
And so we would go, like, to Blockbuster or whatever, and we'd be playing Beats All Alone, cruising down the road, Bill. It was awesome.
Oh, boy.
And so that when I hear Charlie Sexton, it makes me think of Steven back when he had his El Camino.
Sweet,
that was awesome.
Right.
Then we'd go to Jack in the Box, and I would load up, get the double bacon cheeseburger. Remember they had chicken taquitos?
And you got the tacos.
Get the tacos or whatever. And then we'd go back.
Yeah, we got taquitos.
I'd get a 12-pack of beer. You get a 6-pack, and we'd watch bad rentals or play video games.
Sounds like a good night.
Yeah, it sounds like good times. But, Adam, thank you very much for being on the show. And everybody should check out The Past and the Pending. I can't wait till he does a second episode. It's going to be cool.
Yeah.
And, guys, everyone who listens tonight gets this.
Ramen noodle soups in a bag.
Yeah. Dog, it's like 30 in a box for like $2.50.
I'd like to know where he's shopping for ramen.
Oh, I know.
That's my word, homie. What? That's my word, homie.
Oh, okay.
That's his, wait, it's his world?
His word, I think.
Oh, I thought he was saying that, like, wait, ramen are his world.
Let's listen closely.
That's my word, homie. That's my word, homie.
He is saying world, isn't he? That's my world.
Or he just has a really sloppy R.
Well, guys, thank you for listening. If you would like to become a patron of the show, go to patreon.com/landfill. It would be awesome.
We keeping you up, Stephen?
Much like Jennifer Morris.
I just took a deep breath.
Oh, I thought you were yawning.
No, I was just...
Sorry.
No yawn.
Steven was out of breath.
Oh, okay. Well, he's been working really hard all night long.
I've been in Denver for 2 weeks.
Now you're back down at sea level.
Yeah.
He was thinking of that pickled radish he had for dinner.
Who cares about a pickled radish?
I do.
Plus, your lungs are kind of burning from all the pot you smoked, right?
Dude, what?
Brownies.
Oh, brownies. Okay. Well, that's better.
Oh, my God.
Can't smoke.
Yeah, plus, you know, the carcinogens. You know, you got to do...
Hey, man, there ain't no carcinogens in weed.
I'm allergic to marijuana.
Okay, guys, if you'd like to go to etlandfill.com, you can find Stephen, Bill, and I on Twitter. But also, we really want you to join us on Facebook in our Entertainment Landfill fan club, right?
Yeah.
Also, you'll find a link to our archive. It's hard to say that. Find a link to our archive, and you can find all of our old episodes. So, Adam, that's where you need to go to check out our old episodes. Just start at episode 90 or even episode 80 or something. Don't go to episode 1. That's too far back, right? Only if you want to.
Do what you want. Yeah.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
listen,
start at 90.
Start at 90.
Don't laugh at me! If you'd like to send us an email or a voicemail, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. You can also send us a voicemail. Call 1-206-309-4729. A lot of people like to record it on their phones, make it an attachment and an email, though, Stephen. You should try it sometime. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
If you just send me, like, a voicemail sometime instead of calling or something. It'd be cool. Wouldn't that be neat, Bill?
That'd be so neat.
I'm going to send you a voicemail, Bill.
Okay. That'd be splendiferous.
But I'm going to send it in Gmail.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's easy. I can then listen to it as an MP3.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Okay.
So you're saying you're not?
I am. I don't know what that guy's talking about.
I was worried there for a second.
Like one of the worst things imaginable.
Oh, my God. Well, Bill, Steven, thank you guys for being on the show. It was awesome. It's always fun doing the show with you guys. And now's the time where we thank our patrons. How cool
is that? All 40 of them.
Yes, 40. Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank Jennifer Morris, our new patron. I want to know what Heather's doing in the kitchen because it's driving me crazy. What are you doing in there? You're opening the mail? It's really loud mail.
I don't hear it.
I like hear...
She thinks we're actually in a sound studio, quiet.
But if I don't hear it, it's fine.
Here in the Mulberry Studios, Heather, it's no place to open mail. This is like soundproof. We're in the bubble and all that. Bill is in the news room with the glass, you know. Okay, I would like to...
Like Robin.
Like Robin. Yes, I'm Robin.
Bill, we're going to just forget about the romper room music, okay?
Yeah, just keep going.
So, Jennifer Morris, thank you for becoming a patron. Paul Ty, Todd from the ATL, Steve Steinbach, Brian, Adam Howard, Rick Lidster, Marvin, Michael from Chicago, Hodor, John Waltz, Ken Proventure, thank you for your voicemail also. Kelly Murray. Jenny. Tom Bickmore. Cerule Meyer. Adam Sexton. Bill Lochner. What do you think about that guy, Bill?
I love him.
Gotta love Bill. No, I mean, sorry, Bill. Thank you very much. I had to belch. Don't tell anybody. We're on the air.
It's okay.
Darren Finland. Slade Bailey. Carl. Jason Pash. Sean Uyoka. Tom Aresto. Robert Bihana. Kelly. Ross Ponyi. I'm doing pretty good with his name, aren't I?
Yeah.
Rob Bickmore. Sam Abbott. Hey, Abbott! Michael Kiley. Mark Anderson. Andy Sims. Terry Farthing. Swiley! Jean-Francois. You don't know who's going to do it every week. Mike Metcalf. B. Sly. Paul Wong Pan, Nathena Lewis, and Brandon! Thank you guys so much for being patrons. You guys make the show possible and you're awesome. Thank you very much.
Does anybody want to play Parcheesi?
Yeah, does anyone want to play Parcheesi?
No.
Do you guys know how to spell Parcheesi, by the way, just off the top of your head?
P-R-C-H-A-S-I.
A-S-I? Is that it?
No, there's it's just E and S's.
Is it like S-I. Cheese? Like P-A-R-C-H-E-S-E?
Yes, it's cheesy.
Cheesy? Parcheesi?
Parcheesi.
Have you guys ever played Parcheesi?
No. Yes. No one plays Parcheesi.
I played all the time.
Younger,
just pathetic!
Hey! All right, guys. Well, I'm going to go play some Parcheesi, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody. Later, Bill. Later,
Bye.
Steven.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Heather. Bye, baby dog. Bill, can you make Webster bark real quick before we go? That was you.
No, I'm trying to get him to fart. Oh.
Did you guys see that video of the kid making the puppy howl? Going, oh, so cute. Oh, I know you did, Bill, because I stole it from you, right?
No, I stole it from you.
Oh, I stole
Webster's
it from somebody.
Webster's actually not feeling well.
Aww.
He's got a bit of an ear thing.
Poor guy.
So, yeah, he's not feeling it.
Sorry. Get better, Webster.
Yeah, I got to take him to the vet on Monday.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, they're not open on Saturdays or Sundays.
We
got to
end on a positive
country.
Note, Bill. What do we do? What are you going to do after the show, Bill?
I go to bed. Sleep.
This is my utopia.
Yeah.
Sexy,
that is my
beautiful
utopia.
Goddesses.
Okay.
I'm feeling like a slut now.
Yeah, that's a good note to end on. All right, everybody. See you later.
You're drunk. Bye. Go home.
Feeling like a slut now.
Now this is podcasting.
Who wants to have a little?
Seriously?
My sleigh out taste buds.
Who cares about a pickle radish?
Huh?
That's my word, homie. That's my word, homie.
Huh?
Huh? Look at that! Touch that!
Quit pulling my dick. My ass.
Like one of the worst things imaginable.
This is unacceptable, and it's not going to happen anymore.
Do you understand that you got all your wrong?
This is my utopia.
Anybody want to play Parcheesi?
It's the Freddy Ford Show.
Coming at you live on a weekly basis. Freddy Fork Show, great new podcast where we talk about Napoleonic figurine collections and much more. Tune in this week as we talk figurines with Master Collector Jarvis Merriweather III. He'll let us in on the secret release date of the Series 3 Bolshevik National Security Legion set. He'll also share some great tips on the proper cleaning, storing, and handling of your vintage figurine set. So tune in for all this fun and hijinks on the Freddy Fork Show. You can visit the Freddy Fork Show at www.uvaldacity.nv.us/users/index/67359-5/march/625.shtml. Again, that's www.uvaldacity.nv.us/users/index/67359-5/march/625.shtml. This is the Freddy Fork Show.